Tofus Tilas Kalim is just one less than one Amud, Daf Ayin Ham and Beis in the Sechas Avodah Zarah. It starts from Sukkot. If you look at the packet that we gave out, this little parsha in the Torah is the main parsha of both Hashar Kalim and of Tfilas Kalim. Right, where do we see Tfilas Kalim? This parsha, if you read the parsha, Yom Allah Zogrel Ashe Tzama Boing Mechmal Zosu Kukas Tvarsha Tzvasha Mishoshe Achsa Zohavi Yisakas Vsana Choshes Zavar Barzel Es Abdil Yisol Faris Kol Tvarsha Yavo Ba'ish Avir Ba'ish Tahir. Something up when you get in fire. Sounds like Kashrin Kalim. Ach, the Mei Nidah Yisratah. Clearly, Yishudah Shomekor, what is Mei Nidah? What? What is Yishudah Shomekor of Mei Nidah?
Water of Nidah.
A water with a for the paraduma. How do we know? Because in Parshas Sukkos it says, right? Right? So you sprinkle it with virgin water because it comes from water and people died there. Whatever doesn't go water in fire goes in water. Okay, so the Tumah of the Tara, but also about kashering with fire, that is the Tumah of the Tara, from Treif. This is clearly Pshuto Shel Mikra. It talks about halachos of Tumah V'Tahara and about Kashrut Kalim, which of course will be our next topic. We'll remember this. But Chazal Darshin in the Gemara's Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis, as well as other places, Menachem Yimili. How do we know? The Brisa says. I might think Menida just means Kapshuto, Hazar Shlish Shvi. What does Menida mean? Okay, if water that a Nida goes into, meaning a mikvah. Okay, so we have two possible Bachlosim Ravah and Bryce Bakapara. Places where you could darshan Tfilas Kalim out of this parsha, maybe vitaher is an extra word for tefillah. Or maybe da means put it. Kol davar sheyavo ba'esh levash lotum tavir ba'esh. What does tavir ba'esh mean? Kederet tashmisha hagalasa. Your tashrit the way it was used. Mash tashmisha al yecham yegalim cham. Because you use the hot water, you do agala hot water, as we know. That's a mission of the Zara. Things used for barbecuing, you have to leave them. Ach, the main dice katos is rash lefi pshuto chito is elitarim to his face. Absolutely, pshat means sprinkle the barbecue water. Amr lehem, shuto my king, gil letarim le iser, but gil letarim in a tomer. Rebel sing, darsh mikansh, aflach, shir mina iser, hit in tvila le play matfos. It's a drash. Really not pshat. The drash is, there's no pshat of tvila's kibble. I mean, other than for Tumah V'Tahara purposes. But the drash is even for treif, lachshir min ha'iser, you need to tovel them, u'meini dav suvinkan darshu ma'im or u'yin litvol ban nida v'tamehi margoyim sah. V'chol ha'shet lo yu, lo yu v'me'esh kol domar she'i tashmish al yibay v'or, ki yon kosos v'tzlochios she'i tashmish v'tzor l'gwal v'iser tabri u'mayim ad bilan v'dayo v'dav k'tli ma'atos. Okay, Rashi finds two remuz in this parsha. A new drash that Rashi made up. Kol ha'shet lo yu v'esh. So whatever is used for coal doesn't need to be kashered. Tavriu b'mayim, you still need to tovel it. So Rashi thinks you get it from Mini Dayis Chata and Tavriu b'mayim. The Ramban says in number three. Tavriu b'eish v'taher. Let's go to the third line. Number three. Chol she lo yom b'eish kol davar she'ein tashmisho al yidei ha'or ki yom kosos u'tzlochias v'kitonos she tashmisho b'tzomneiv l'bolim. He doesn't think Tavir B'Mayim, he disagrees with the drash that Rashi invented. He doesn't think Tavir B'Mayim can be toveling, because that's called Biyam B'Mayim, not Havara B'Mayim. And also, because even things used for cold meat kashering. What kind of kashering do things that are used for cold need? To wash them, right? With the sponge, the sink. So why wouldn't the term mention that? Milvada tefila zo ve'echol yasper hasherin kasher asav boed ba'esh shalom b'cham tefila zo lo iskir ba'mikozeh chazal din darshim tavir ba'esh lo darshim af meinid ha'is chatah. Everyone goes to Makabara. Mayim shanid to me'os behem apir tavir mayim l'chav som l'shav shem shetam ba'mayim yofer at shetosr chalubah shidid b'kame min ha'isr shetam shahem. What does it mean tavir ba'mayim? If something was only used for coal and you buy it from a guy, You have to scrub it to get rid of all the en schmutz, what he calls haluda, of treif, right? You have to clean it. You don't have to do anything hot with hot water or heat, but you have to clean it. With water, obviously. Going up bars of the choshes, we got my kesef azav alav the baor. You value the achamin. Going up dilbo first, my gilu bechamin. Very nice. Rashi said, "How do you know there's two kinds of kashering, hagala and libun?" So Rashi says, "Ba'esh, whatever kind of fire was used by, that's how you get the kashering. So if it was used for roasting on a fire, you have to roast it with libun, blowtorch. If it was used for cooking with hot water, you have to cook in hot water." The Ramban says, "No, the Torah itself tells you there's two kinds of fire. Why?" Because it lists six different metals. Everyone knows that iron, for example, you use on a barbecue. But how about tin? I'm just some of his examples. And you know what would happen if you made your barbecue rack out of grill out of tin? It would melt. No, it would melt. Tin has a very low melting point. So what do you use tin for? Bikoshi! You could use tin for cooking with boiling water. Says that's why the Torah Baramis by the different metals, strong, I don't know if it's called strong, but you know, stronger metals with a higher melting point, like iron, are for libun, and metals with a lower melting point, like tin, are remes to hagala. Like knives that were used for hot of the goyim, and he quotes a sefri who supports him, at least his curious in the sefri. What's dover shayobu ba'esh tavir ba'ma'in? That means cups that are used for cold, you just have to put in water because of the tray for the goyim. Lahotra because last of the Torah didn't have to mention tefillah twice. Why would the Torah mention tefillah twice like Rashi? Shemar hisko sach meini da'is chatzah. It's already mentioned by achra meini da'is chatzah. The achra places the isra kulum shavim din tefillah. Once you kasha them, however you kasha them, hagalah, rinsing, libun, now everything's the same. Everything needs tefillah. Okay, stop. Two lines before the end of the Ramban. I want to just point out, this will be, again, it's mostly, perhaps, more of an introduction to Hagalos Kingdom. Also, what does the Pesukim mean, V'chol Asher Lo Yavo Ba'esh Taviru Ba'mayim? We have a machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban. Says Rashi, that means things that were used cold. You have to tovel in a mikvah. Narman says, A, we have no remes in Chazal, they darsh that way. Of course, we have no remes in Chazal, how they darsh it. So it's open season. And also, why would it need to be merames the mikvah twice? Two, we have the Ramban. He said, things that are used cold, you have to wash with water. You have to wash them. Right, this is going to be important. Again, keep this in mind when we get to extra kalim. It won't take us so long. Interesting question, right? What's machlokes Rashi and Ramban here? When you use something for grilling, you have to do libun, blowtorch it. When you use something for cooking with hot water, you have to do hagala, put it in boiling water. When you use something cold, you just wash it. Is washing it also halosa kashering or not? Rashi says, no. Hagala and libun are kashering. Washing doesn't even make it into the psukim because that's just a slur. That's not a kind of kashering. The Ramban says, no. Just like libun is a kind of kashering for barbecues, just like hagala is kashering for pots, washing with a sponge and water is kashering for cups. Okay, that will have enough gemin as well. However, our Gerson and Safri is not the same for our pots. Okay, who am I to say what's right, Gerson and Safri? But if you look at our Gerson and Safri, number 4 says, okay, so here it's a little unclear, but what does the Sifrei add at the end? Kunkimosim v'yoros. What are kunkimosim v'yoros? What? They're used with heat. And now it's not so clear what the Sifrei meant. He might not have had the Gersa Kumkumos of Yoros. And he had an R Gersa. It's hard to put everything in. It's not a shell of Kosos, but of course you also drink hot from Kosos. Right? Who says you don't drink cold from Kosos? It could be the Sifrei. I'll be a little more careful. Maybe what the Sifri thinks is a new pshat, a third pshat of this pasuk. Maybe this is referring to used with hot water, but not with dry heat. Maybe the Sifri is a totally new pshat. Kol davar sheyavo ba'esh, whatever is used in a fire, tavir ba'esh v'taher, right, like barbecues. Kol shelo yavo ba'esh, whatever is not used directly in a fire or dry heat, but only for cooking in hot water, you do hagalah with hot water. Maybe the Sifri, I can't promise, thinks that, unlike Rashi and Rabban, says called davar sheyavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh v'taher covers liquid hagalah. Maybe the Sifri thinks called davar sheyavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh v'taher covers liquid. So we're not sure what this words mean. Rashi says it's repeating a remez of tefillah. The Ramban says it's referring to washing things with cold water. And maybe the Sifri thinks it's referring to, some different think this pshat is Sifri, to hagala with hot water. Either way, Rashi thinks it's a remez in addition to what's in the Gemara, and the Ramban disagrees. Now, let's see one other inch. So, if we want to know, where does... What is the makor for tevilas kelim? What's the makor for tevilas kelim? In the Gemara, you have Rava says v'tahir, an extra word. You have Tani bar Kapara, who says b'mei nida, right? Mayim that a nida goes into. And Rashi says b'mei nida plus Tavir Ramayim, and the Ramban says that's ridiculous, just think of Bar Kapara. Then there's an interesting line at the end of the Ramban. The last two lines of number three. The Levi Mahaber O Lomar Shat, Vila Zomi de Brehem. Maybe feels him was only Mitra Bahim. Well, that's a bomb. That's a bomb. The Mikra Smachtos, maybe there's no drush, it's just a smachtos. Why? Because Onkelos says Meinida means Kipshuta or Aduma. Wouldn't Onkelos usually follow the drash? Not if it's only a smachta. It's Rikos Achon, Klimatos, Bovat, Meshesh, Mekemesh, Shrish, Borbik, Tigrish, Tishay, Vitzonim, Zetzar, Talmud. Man, why would Chazal only require metal kelim to be on scale? If you say the right sentence, it's partially going to have metal kelim. Actually, that's obvious. Like Chazal said, Chush, Vitzonim, Zalas, Abilis, of course. But if it's your bottom, why only metal? Because metal is very versatile. Therefore, they were metakin or takanas. Okay. Not so clear, says the Ramban. It's also, maybe it's only midrabanan. Okay, some are going to want to say the Ramban also thinks maybe it's only midrabanan. Anyone who's been in Yeshiva a few years knows by now that it's always unclear in the Ramban what's the rice and what's the rabanan, because whatever's a drasha, he calls different silver, and it confuses everyone, including us, and the Gedolei Achronim. Between us and the Gedolei Achronim, we're all confused. Lamai said there is a shita that maybe feels camels only drabana, it's only in a smachta b'yalma. How do we paskin? Are we make all that? Some of the achronim retzarif this lakula, but idina, the strict din. Do we assume feels camels deraisa or drabana? Right, we're not sure yet, but if you flip your shochan aruch, I apologize for getting ahead of myself a little, too. So if you dial it, it says, ein maminen katan al tefilas kelim. You can't trust a katan to total kelim. Who learns Sachem in the morning this year? Okay, so if you can't trust a katan to say Tobel Kelim, how long am I said? If I buy a fork, I can't send it with my 12-year-old son or 11-year-old daughter to Tobel. If you can't trust a katan to Tfilas Kelim and you learn Sachem Daf Dalet, what does that mean?
We just repeat that.
No, but we know we can. That Tfilas Kelim is a Raisa, because it says we trust the katan for Drabonis, like Vigas Chametz. So that this is where the Shulchan Aruch is machriya against this Ramban. Sif Yudalek, we paskin it's d'oraisa. Okay. Shulchan Aruch, kof kof, Sif Yudalek, paskins that tefilas kelim is mi d'oraisa against this big chiddush the Ramban. No, he's claiming Gemara and Asmachta. You know that often the Gemara sounds like it's a drasha and Asmachta. So you never know when it is, when it isn't. The Ramban doesn't go against the Gemara. Okay. Second introduction, just point out something important. Number five, says the Bir Halacha. Well, actually, you know, we'll come back to that. That's not. I'll point out. Says that it should be obvious to all of us, but I'll point out nonetheless. The Davka. The Davka. No, it's really the Shochana. Well, we'll come back to number five. We don't need to do it now. Okay, just one word of a Hashkafic introduction. The Tfilas Kalim is a funny bird because you saw how Rashi Nirman's language, because of the treifas of the Goyim, you have to tobel it. Like, it's not exactly Tobel Matara, because even nowadays you're not Matara, until Matara, you still have to tobel or Kalim. But it's not exactly Matarfus, because you're already kosher from the Tarfus. And the Gemara asks, what if you buy a new Kalim from the Goyim? They say, even if you buy a brand new Kalim from the Goyim, you have to tobel it. Why? Well, because the Chumash says, if you leave on, you have to tobel it. I mean, you do leave on, it's like brand new. So even if it is brand new, you have to tovel it. So it's not really for, because it's treif, because you already kashered it, or maybe even if it's brand new. The Gemara makes an extrapolation. If, when you kashered, you have to tovel it, then when it's brand new, you also have to tovel it. So it's not really because it's treif, but it's not really because it's tovel batara, because even nowadays, they're not makbed on tovel batara, and even if it would happen to not be tummy. Right? So what exactly is this? Okay. So there's a Yerushalmi that says it's like leaving the Tome of the Akum and coming to the Tower of the Jews, which again is not so clear. Like, it's not strictly Tome of the Tower. More like this. So, it's not exactly clear why we have to tovel a Kli when a Jew buys it from a Goy. Obviously, it reminds us a tiny bit of Gerus, right? When a Goy becomes a Jew, tovels to go from being a Goy to being a Jew. So, when a pot is bought goes from being Goyish to being Jewish, it tovels to become Jewish, as it were. Doesn't explain exactly why a pot, doesn't explain exactly what's going on. Nirlani is Dainty, the Pashim shot, as to why. And one other thing, the Gemara asks, how do we know it's only food kalim? Maybe if you're a kalim, you're by scissors from a guy, you have to tovel them. What do you think the answer is? From this parsha of the Chumash, how do we know it's only tovel kalim used for food? Because it talks about kasher then, right? The only kasher kalim that are used for food. Right, so you only tovel kalim used for food. So Nirlani is daiti, that the way I would say it is, it has something to do with treif, but not because it was mamash treif. Because even brand new kalim have to be tovels. Is that perhaps the idea is that there's a fundamental difference between, and here I'm not necessarily talking about any particular Jew and any particular guy, because every individual is different, but between how a Jew is supposed to relate to the whole realm of food, and how a guy is required to relate to the whole realm of food. Ultimately, eating is one of the most physical, animalistic things that we do, right? Right. Eating is a basic biological function. It's not an advanced function. And it's very, very fundamental within us that we eat in order to, if not indulge, at least fulfill our typos, right? And that's a healthy part of nature, right? That people should eat so they have nutrition, etc. So we have a type of food built into us, just like all of the other animals in the world. And it could be that ultimately a kli that belongs to a goy is defined as a goyish kli. What is a goyish kli meant to be used for? For pure, unrestricted indulgence of taiva. And that's okay, right? Haraya, there's no rules of kashrus, right? Goyim can eat whatever they want because their eating is an expression of, yeah, don't tell me you once met a goy. I'm not talking about every particular individual. You know, maybe there's some individual goyim out there who keep a lot of ideas out there, or keep a lot of ideas in the Torah, and unfortunately some Jews out there who might not. But theoretically, since a goy is not bound by kashrus, even if a goy decides to eat kosher, halachically he's not bound by kashrus. Therefore, his eating is an unrestrained exercise in physicality. And that's what this kli is all made for. If it's owned by a goy, even if he never used it, this is the definition of this kli. This is a kli that's meant to be used for the goyish idea of eating, which is unrestrained indulgence in physicality. When a Jew buys it, it has to become a kli for Jewish eating. And a kli for Jewish eating means a kli that's in the realm of kashrus, not because it might or might not cook ham. Even if it didn't cook ham, it was miyuad, omei lakach, to be used unrestrictedly, for indulgence, and now it's only to be used in a restricted sense by people who keep kashrus, meaning by people who are bidden to have their avodas Hashem structure and control their eating. Because for a Jew, and ideally, eating is not an exercise in indulgence of taiva, but rather is part of our avodas Hashem. And what symbolizes that? The fact that we have restrictions on eating. Okay, I in the rough, you want beautiful descriptions of how every time we indulge in physical taiva, there are halachas that tell us when and how we can and can't restrict us, and that is the redemption of the physical and learning something spiritual. Okay, so perhaps if you just wanted a common sense understanding of why we have to total place suda we buy from a guy, it's not because they are tricks, because even brand new ones, or even after we kosher them, but it's because they were in the realm, they were part of the realm of the kind of eating that is not what we believe physicality should be used for. Now we have to convert them, as it were, to mala them to kalim that are intended for the kind of eating that we do believe in, the kind of eating that is subordinated and supportive of a spiritual agenda, and that's why we have to talk to them. Okay, that's probably pashat shah hashkaf, meaning why we do tefillas kalim. We're not going to build any halachas based on that. We'll build the halachas just based on the drashas of Sukkim and the halachas mentioned in Chazal as explicated, of course, by the terms we're learning now. Okay, let's delve into the halachos. If, yeah. The Yerushalmi, which talks about how it leaves the Tome of Akam and goes to the Tower of Yisrael. So I'm not sure. I haven't really seen it in the Poskim so much. In the Akrona, they like to hold these Chakiras. Is it leaving Tome? Is it getting Tara? Is it getting Kedusha? Leaving Tome? I haven't really seen that you can really build anything on that in any reliable fashion. So maybe, but in my experience, I haven't been successful with that. Let's go to the Shulchan Aruch. Hakonim Yovakom play Suda Shulchan. Remember, how we know only play Suda? The Gemara says play Suda because there's only a remez of a drasha in a parsha that Suda Shulchan Mikra is about Kashra. Only Kashra play Suda. Shel Matos, why only metal? Because the Torah only says metal here. Ach says a hobby, a psychosis, a push, a barzel, a gilby, a forest. Those are six metals. Good trivia question. How many metals? I don't think we're around. A lot of things were around, but how many metals were known to mankind at the time of the Torah? Seven metals were known to mankind at the time of the Torah. Why are only six of them mentioned in the Parsha? Because the seventh one is mercury, which is liquid at room temperature, and you can't actually build any kelim out of, right? So they knew about mercury, but it wasn't... I don't think they had thermometers with it. I don't know what they did with it. But it's you can't build. So these are the only six metals that were solid at room temperature that were known to mankind at the time of the Chumash. Okay, what's the significance of that is we'll get back to in a moment. But, continues the Shulchan Aruch, Oshel Zechuchis, or glass. Okay, why glass? So glass is for sure only Drabanan. Right? Glass is for sure only Drabanan. Noah's not. Noah is not here. So he tells me there's some strange Hasidish and Hagman I'm not familiar with, but interestingly, the Gemara says glass that Xira Drabani have to total. For sure, Drabani would pull out. Why would it go around glass? It's similar to metal. In what way is it similar to metal? Unlike anything else?
It can be reconstituted.
Exactly. If you break metal, again, nowadays you break anything and throw it out. If you break metal, what do you do? Take the two broken ends, put them in a fire. They melt a little, stick them together, and they harden back, and it becomes a fixed clay. I'm not saying it'll be as pretty. If you were skilled, you'd probably make it pretty. If you break glass, what do? You take the two ends, put them in a fire till it melts a little, stick them together, and it fuses back together. As opposed to, if you take wood, you can't put in the fire, obviously. And if you break cheres, then we know that is the figure of speech already, right? Cheres hamishmar. Right? That it is not good for anything. You can't put it back together. If you break stone, kalim, you can't put them back together, etc. So, since zechuchis was similar to metal in a way that, I guess, resonated with people in those days, therefore, chazal goes on zechuchis atu mateches. Ah, So it's a big machlokes l'man deposkim. Ooh, now I feel bad. I should have put that on this before sheet also. Okay, this issue does come up in the man deposkim. Does the same sort apply to plastic or not? I'm going out a little bit on a limb. I think it is the Minchas Yitzhak, but I might be mistaken. Ask me next time after I double check. Who says, the same sort applies to plastic, because you can melt plastic and fuse back together. But, and there are yesh machmirim to total plastic. Yesh machmirim to total plastic for that reason. The Rove poskim and the mainstream halach is not to total plastic, because we assume that what Chazal were only gozer on things that existed at their times. And since plastic didn't exist at their times, it wasn't called exagerate, even though the reason applied. So the mainstream minute is not to total plastic. There's a very minority minute to total plastic without a bracha, because they can't be sure. Okay, but metal is vadai d'oraisa, according to everyone but the Rabban, and glass is vadai d'rabbanan. There are many people in the world who total metal with a bracha and glass without a bracha, but pashas, that's just amaratus and confusion. Because metal is d'oraisa, glass is d'rabbanan, we make a bracha d'oraisa, make a bracha d'rabbanan. You only don't make a bracha if something's a suffix. There's no suffix about glass before Shem and Gemara. Right? The Gemara is good enough for us to keep zeros to Rabbanan. So if you're willing to make a bracha on Hanukkah candles, then you should make a bracha on total and glass kalim as well. Truth is stranger than fiction. Okay, in any case, I don't think they needed to total them. Well, I mean, that is a chumrah out there. It's valid to anything else, able to elu. And B, you know, it's hard to imagine why anyone would make a bracha over someone not taking care of a crazy chumrah on your behalf. And the answer is, it's basically the same as marriage therapy. It's not because of the plastic coffee cups, because everyone will lie with so much baggage about everything and its brother-in-law in the first place that you have a plastic coffee cup and all of a sudden it becomes hushkafing. When we go back there, we'll fix it. Yes. Everyone here, it's mutter for you to go back to America, to go back to YU and fix it. Spreading Avos Yisrael, and that'll work. They already have all the other milas, other than people just getting along with each other a little better. other than YU is every mila, so we just need to go back and spread, Avos Yisrael. Okay, bye. I should probably take that off. No problem. Okay, we should get moving. Oh, kalim amitzupin ba'avar mibifdam, or kalim that are avar is the same as the chazal. Avar is the equivalent of the mikra'i, that the biblical word of ferris, which means lead. In modern day Hebrew, use a ferris again, like the Tanakh, or they're lead coated on the inside. Afal pi shehem chadoshim, even though they're brand new. Tzarflat bilam b'mikva n'mikva o mayan shal bar mitzvah. Or a mayan, you can always call it a mikvah or a mayan. Mikvah is where rainwater gathers. Mayan is a flowing spring of 40 sa. The chiddush here is, without getting into the whole taz here and who misunderstood who, bottom line, the chiddush is that even though according to many shitas, a mayan is metahir and kli in less than 40 sa. According to maybe in most Rishonim, a mikvah needs 40 sa to tovel kli, and a mayan to tovel kli in the days of Tom Patara doesn't need 40 sa. But everyone agrees, most people agree, a mayan to tovel a person needs 40 sa. And therefore, since it's actually made nida, the mayan that a nida goes into is a chumra. It doesn't say tovel your kalim from a guy where you tovel other kalim. It says where people tovel. And therefore, just like a nida needs 40 sa, bain b'mayan, bain b'mikvah, for tefillas kalim, we need 40 sa, bain b'mayan, bain b'mikvah. Okay, I don't know how often that comes up, halacha l'maaseh, but that's clear. That's what you mean, chadash. Don't think you use a mayan that's less than harbarim saw, because it has to be like a nida, and a nida or other human being needs 40 saw even in a mayan. Okay, fairly straightforward. Yes.
Glass needs 40 saw.
No, glass needs 40 saw. It's no chalut. Call the deen the rice, the rice the deen. All tefillas kalim need the kosher mikvah,
not like some places that have men's mikvahs that are not strictly kosher. All tefillahs came is a strictly kosher mikvah. However, there is a difference. I don't find this in the Svarim, but if you like add up the achronim, you compare, you see, when it comes to mikvahs for women to tovel, we keep the strict halacha, plus lechatchila when building a mikvah, we keep all the chumers. Every possible chumer we keep when building a mikvah. Why? Because it has to do with the nisar kares, and it has to do with the yichus of being a ben nida, etc. Since it is very, very serious, we add on extra chumers. So if anyone learned halachas nida with me, we saw that the Pesach Tshuva, when he brought down the tshuvos, about using plates of metal to line the floor of the mikvah. We keep extra chumers when we build women's mikvahs. However, tefillas kiyum is not so hard. It's not nisar kares. It's not even nisar lav. It's only an mitzvah saseh. Mitzvah saseh is serious, no right? But it's not as chumer. Not only that, the Mishnah Berurah says in number 5, the davke, he's talking about a different context. 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 If you do, this is the last line in the siman, if you do use a kli without totaling it, the food's not treif. Even though it's usher to use it without totaling it. We don't have to make a gzeira, because even though it is usher to not total your kli, it's not treif. It's not as serious as other reserved oraisa. Even if totaling's been a Torah, using it once without totaling, it's only Mr. Rabbanan. Kitzer, okay, never totaling it as a Mr. Rice. Kitzer said to Mr. Brua, this is only Mr. Asay, and it's more Kal because it's not even a Heftz of truth. It's just that you're not supposed to use it without totaling it, and therefore, the minig is we build Kela Mikvahs according to the strict halacha without chumras, and we build men's Mikvahs, some according to the strict halacha, some a little less than strict halacha, and we build women's Mikvahs, again, lechachila, I mean, if you're stuck. But if you're building for an established community with all the chumras, just to be on the safe side.
Why did most of you not require a men's sale
for giving? I mean, that's based on the Gemara. With Arshins in, a few sugyas here and there, I mean, not to go to now. That's what it sounds like all over Shas. Right, the Kool-Aid or the Eel Shanu Khan, the Gemara says a few places. Okay, let us, now, of course, what's missing? How do we know if it's coated with lead that you need to tovel it? Again, just non-halachic point. We've now discovered that, like, eat enough lead kelim to break the edge. Don't use lead kelim. But let's talk theoretically. Because this is the Mefurish Gemara. The Gemara has a discussion about this. All I say Gemara is Ayinim, Beis, and Abu Dazar, the only place that's in the Gemara. Meaning what it started at or what you put at the end, it helps like a sofo. So before helped us out, there you go by the coating. And that, at least that's almost all we should read it, that lead coated is chayav. Okay, it's not clear if it's right, but it's not a force helps so that you're chayav, so you're troubled with the bracha so far. We'll get to that. Okay, we'll get to all that, not to worry. However, what does the Mechaber leave out? If you're learning the Mechaber, you say, hold on, he left something out. He said three things, Matachos, Zechuches, Ometzuvim, Ba'over. What did he leave out?
Yes.
No, he left out a lot of things, but I mean, what did he leave out that like belongs here logically? I said metal, I said glass, and I said coated with metal. What should I also have related to? Coated with glass. Like with a metal glass, and I say coated with metal, I should also relate to coated with glass, right? Sounds reasonable. So, what's the diuk? The fact that he didn't mention, stone kalem, okay, that's also, it's a valid diuk, but it's not conspicuous. It's conspicuous that he leaves out coated with glass. What's the only conclusion you can reach? Why does he leave out coated with glass? Because he holds that you don't need to. Same reason he leaves out cheres and eights and adavonim, because you don't need to. So how about kli cheres mitzupe bizchukes, right? Carrying a real mice much more than anything else. So the diuk of the machaber, this is such a strong diuk, you can't deny it, is that your potter. But if we go by the coating for metal, why don't we go by the coating for glass? So this is a machlokas achronim. The Shevet Alevi, Rav Osner, says, because since glass is drabanan, they weren't gozer on the coating. He says, assumes that metal coated is drabanan, glass drabanan, but glass coated, like metal coated is zero to metal, glass is zero to metal. But glass coated is xero lixero, right? Glass coated onto glass and glass onto metal. So he says, because glass is drabanan and coating is drabanan, you don't make xero lixero double drabanan. Okay. That's his assumption. It's not mafurish anywhere. It's not clear. We're not sure.
Correct.
So it only works when 10. But the pretoar here. The pretoar is a pirush on Shulchan Aruch Yordea, written by anyone? The Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim HaKadosh from the Kros Gedolos, right? Before they came out with Toras Chaim and all these other things to prevent people from learning nice drush. When I was a kid, it was in the Kros Gedolos. He wrote a pirush on Shulchan Aruch Yordea called Pretoar. It's often printed together with the Chadash. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I think they like co-appear to be no sir, both together. So he says a different svar, and the svar could be anything. He says b'shevet halevi because it's zera l'zera, but he's making an assumption that coding is only zera. Says the pretor, he says a different reason. The only reason there goes around glass is because what? Because if it breaks, you can fuse it together. How about glass coated pottery? If it breaks, you can fuse it together? No. So the reason doesn't apply. Right? Ain lo takana. Can't be fixed. Right? Glass you can fuse together, but glass coated pottery you can't fuse together. So it's not going to be confused with metal. I understand you'll say, but it can confuse with metal coated pottery. Okay? That's his part. Lemaista, who did freeze with the machaber? The shach says in days, kosivis reheter, dimitsukum schuches dinam kibitsukum ba'afar. Ah! So says the Isser Heter and the Shach Chayav. Yeah, what did Machaber? I don't know what the Machaber said. I don't know if he is the Shach of the Machaber doesn't care, but why should he care what the Machaber says, right? Isser Heter was before the Machaber. The Shach is not beholden to the Machaber. He's Ashkenazic. Okay, so maybe the Machaber holds butter, but the Shach holds Chayav. Why? Because you don't need a star. There goes are metal coated. There goes are glass coated. Interesting question. Why would it only be metal and not anything else? I mean, whatever the svar is, why only metal and not other things? There, I don't have a great answer. Why only metal and not other things? You know, I can make up very different things, but I don't have a great answer. No, not at all. Why only metal? I'm not sure. I don't have a great svar. Other than it's very chashuv, and the other things are not so chashuv. You know, but that's not a great svar. Yeah. Well, I'm Harris Mechabal Shoma, so it's not about that. Okay, thank you. How do we paskin? How do we paskin about this? So, look at Rabbi Kiva Eger here. In the fourth Rabbi Kiva Eger, towards the end, he says, Mikol Mokum Yesh Lomer Davka Mitzukum Ba'avar Mamash. Well, Leizert, Leiz, Lo Yavarech, Aymish Dozav, he quotes a Prima Godin in Orachayim who says, you don't make a bracha. What do you mean you tovel without a bracha? I mean, you were misumpt, we tovel without a bracha. Right? So says the Prima Godin in Orachayim and Rabbi Kiva Eger, Safik always means Yitbol Li Bracha. Halacha L'maisa, all of the modern day poskim, modern day Ashkenazi poskim, I'm not sure what's starting poskim, pass like this, Rabbi Kiva Eger, it's a Safik. And therefore, we should tovel it without a bracha. Where does it become complicated? It becomes complicated in Machor 6. Here, where do we get different minhagim? We get different minhagim. In Israel, everywhere I've seen, the minhag is that if you buy. Now, what is cheres coated with glass? All dishes. Whether you call them china, you call them dishes, weekday, Shabbos, fancy, not fancy, all things that we call regular dishes or expensive dishes are all made of cheres on the inside and glazed on the outside. That's what, whether you call them china, whatever you call them, that's what they are. Glaze is glass, hence the word. No, but, I mean, The word glaze obviously comes from glass. In English, you're allowed to use the word glaze for non-glass. But lemaisa, the glaze, dishes, the glaze is always glass. Yes. So this is like all of our dishes nowadays. Almost all of our dishes nowadays. Which is why, in Israel, the pretty universal minhag is the tovel without a bracha. At least Rosh Hashanah, I can check Sfaradim. Because of this Rabbi Akiva anger, because of the shach. You know, just the shach says tovel it, but we're nervous that maybe he's wrong, so we go without a bracha. In America, there's a Masorah from Rav Moshe Feinstein, which has a bit of a hint in Mukher 6. Mukher 6 is talking about kashrus, not talking about tefillas kavim. It says, "Be'inyan kelim yikar miporcelain shalon hashamshu v'yibes chodesh v'yishmak." It's totally even guess. Could you make all on treif porcelain? He means not actually porcelain. Porcelain is something else. He means regular dishes. Expensive china that hadn't been used for 12 months. Said, "Mitzad kiso dizchukas." How about the fact that it's glazed? Ain't that tzipoy mamish? That's not a real tzipoy. Says our dishes are not a real tzipoy. They don't count like zechukas. Aval etc. Now again, Rav Moshe is not talking tefillas kavim, but he says our glazed kalim are not a real tzipoy. It's too thin and not substantive enough. Apparently, he assumes in the old days they had a says ain't a tzipoy mamish. Once there was a tzipoy mamish. Once upon a time, they had different technology. And they actually like took glass and they melted it onto the cheres and it was a thicker layer, which you could actually see had mamoshes b'fnei atzmo, right? It could actually like, you could sort of see it by itself. You could like maybe break it off with a very sharp knife and, you know, hold it by itself. That was a tzipoy mamish. Nowadays, with our modern technology, it's not a tzipoy mamish. Really, bottom of vutl doesn't count anymore. Now, Rav Moshe is not talking the concept of tefillas kelim, but there's a Masorah Baal Peh from Rav Moshe that he was making also tefillas kelim, that our modern-day glaze is not the glaze that the Machaber and the Shach argued about. Our modern-day glaze is not a tzipoy at all, and therefore it's Patra L'Kuli Alma. That's Masorah from Moshe Feinstein. This is Masorah Baal Peh. I heard it from his son-in-law, Rav Moshe Dov Tender of YU. It's been printed in the Sefer Ola Yeshurun by Rav Felder. From Philadelphia. I think it's called All the Yeshurun. It's a bunch of books called Yeshurun. His father also had a bunch of books called Yeshurun. Gedalia Felder. What was his first name? No, they were mixing up. Oh, Rav Felder. I forget his first name. From Philadelphia, published it in his Sefer. I don't have a copy of it right now, but I read it there. And other people write this. So there's Masorah among many people in America from Rav Moshe that you don't have to tovel because not because they passed it against the Shach, but because our glaze is different than the glaze the Shach was talking about. Someone should go to museums and sort of check this out.
Yeah, what's the context of this chuva?
This chuva is trying to be machmir. Since some people say glass is not bolea, it can't become treif. Don't say our dishes can't become treif, because that's not real glass. So he's saying l'chumra. But there's a Masorah, Baal Peh, that he said l'kula as well, that you don't need tefillos kavim. Okay. One of the more halachically colorful personalities of our day. Or Yitzhak. Simon's Rebbe? Yitzhak Abadi. Yeah, so he actually writes, no, a makel that's not bolei because it's glass, and a makel you don't have to total because it's not glass, and that's not a problem, and it's not a secret. Okay. But that's not, we assume it is bolei, it's not glass. And Rav Moshe says, and you don't have to tovel, it's not glass. That's a famous kula of Rav Moshe. In our yeshiva, all the Rosh Yeshiva that I asked agree with that kula of Rav Moshe. Rav Schechter agrees with that, Rav Willick agrees with that, Rav Simon agrees with that. You know, I assume everyone else is probably a Talmud, one of those. The Rav Moshe Dov Tendler agrees with it. He heard it from his father-in-law. The Maisa, the Minhag Yeshiva, is to be making like this Masorah for Rav Moshe, that you don't have to tovel our regular dishes nowadays. If there's something out of the ordinary that has a thick layer, like you can't see a layer of glass in our dishes, right? If you look at our dishes, you're not going to see a layer of glass, just shiny. Okay, since that's not a real tzipoy, that's the chap of, that's the chiddush of Rav Moshe, it's a chiddush, the Minhag Yeshiva is to be making about this. The Minhag Olam in America is that some people are making, some people are machmer. The minhag in Eretz Yisrael is that everyone is machmer on this.
Goodbye. Do you know for sure that it's
yes, all dishes are like that, with the exception of Karel. There are dishes called Karel, that you could tell they're very, very different from regular dishes, right? No one has karel at home? They're much lighter. Is that the chav?
And they don't break.
And they don't break. Karel is, it's actually not. This karel is the only kind of egg, and I obviously find plastic dishes or something if you're a kid, but I'm saying. You know, karel is the only kind of dish that you might encounter that you might think is a regular dish that is not. Karel is not karis at all. Karel is actually kind of glass. It's just a super duper, you know, all the modern science special kind of glass that, first of all, has nice colors, but we won't accept color glass, that's not a top, but that is very hard and lightweight and doesn't break, which is modern science. Karel is glass. Almost all posts agree, and we Paskin and Mary Willick says that karel can total with a raw hook. It's just glass. Yeah, it looks a little like regular dishes. But it only, first of all, it's a little, it doesn't really look like regular dishes. For example, it's a little translucent. I mean, it doesn't feel like regular dishes. Like, you can tell the difference pretty easily. But Karel, that's the brand name, but I think it's going to come. Karel, we pass it as glass and you told it with a broth, and it has nothing to do with this focus. All other dishes are cheres, which is glazed cheres, which we paskin, if it was a real layer, you would tovel without a bracha, and our modern day dishes, there are different minhagim about. Okay, what other materials do we have to discuss before we get to Ramah? Ah, the fasting machlokes about aluminum. Let's go to the next page. What about aluminum? So, what is interesting about aluminum? On the one hand, it is metal. On the other hand,
no, that's actually not true. You should hazard your periodic table.
On the one hand, it's metal. On the other hand, it's not. No, it totally is. It's not on the list in the Torah, right?
It's metal, but it's not on the list in the Torah.
And here we get a fundamental, it's famous amount of focus between the Gra and the Teferis Yisrael. But it's really Machlokas Rishon. Right, but it's more famous Machlokas Gra and Teferis Yisrael, but it's really Machlokas Rishon. When the Torah says these six metals, which happen to be the only six solid metals in the time of the Chumash that were known to mankind, does the Torah mean Davka these six? Or is it just a way of saying metal? The Torah never said the word metal, Chazal say the word metal. Did the Torah mean metal, and these are just the examples at the time? Or did the Torah mean only these six? On the one hand, no, these are the only six the Torah could say, but obviously the point is a metal. On the other hand, Hashem wrote the Torah, and he knew more than everyone else, and he knew even metals maybe that we don't know about yet. He certainly knew about aluminum and everything else that exists on the periodic table. So if he wanted to include metals that were not yet discovered, he could have figured out a clever way of doing so. I'm not sure offhand what he would have said. Maybe he could have just said Klematechas or something, right? So that's the question. Do you say you're medayik from Hashem's omniscience that it's only the six and not anything else because he left out things that were not yet discovered? Or do you say Dibur Torah Kolashim Ne'adam? No, Hashem is omniscient, but the Torah is written in human language, and therefore when he wrote all the metals humans knew about, he meant all metals that humans would ever know about. So this seems to be a Machlokas Rishona. If you look at number seven, Rashi's in Roshana. Etc. Let's skip a little. The third line of Rashi, Klei Matkos Doraisa El Mishum Tumas Klei Zuchukas Drabbanan. She ain't Klei Matkos Tamein Doraisa El Amenuyim BeParsha. No Klei Matkos are Tamein Doraisa except for the ones mentioned in the Parsha. Azav Akesim Nechos Bardel says. Says Rashi only the ones in the Parsha. He's trying to say don't think Zuchukas is a metal. Why is Zuchukas not in the metal? We would say it's the periodic table. Rashi didn't have modern science. He says, no. Zuchukas is not the Raisik. It's not in the Parsha. Even if Zuchukas were to be a metal, it wouldn't be high if the Raisik is not in the Parsha. Says Rashi, ain't klimatos to me in the Raisik elamanuyim of Parsha. However, says the Rambam in number 8, he's still mentioned the Torah, but we assume it's the same Parsha. V'chein korin l'chol akelim ha'nitochim davka klimatos v'ain klizuchukas b'chol min zakdom et taros. We discussed all the different categories of kelim. He says, any kelim, what does matechas literally mean? It's nitach. You can melt it and pour it into a mold. Right? Any kli that is nitach is a kli matechas, but not kli zechuchas. Okay, so that seems to be machlokes. I know it's not so foolish, but what about metals not on the list, such as aluminum is the most practical one nowadays? Do you say it's chayav, or do you say it is potter? So the mashmos of Rashi is that it's potter, and the Rambam is that it's chayav, because the Rambam says anything nitach is mateches. And Rash says only menuyim b'parsha. This is also things on Chol Zachron. I didn't have a convenient copy of the Achronim to put on the sheet, but the Gra says that it does not count, and so to Rav Moshe Feinstein. And the Tiferes Shul says it does. So if you go to the Achronim, the Gra says no, and the Tiferes Shul says any metal is a metal. The Gra says no, and it's in the Chumash. If you go to modern day Poskim, although we'll have one asterisk, the Igros Moshe says no, and the Shevet Alevi says yes. So this is a big machlokas. Agav, why is this? When is this really come up? Rav Moshe wrote this mainly. Discussed this a little bit. The main idea is the theme school of Rav Moshe for Kohanim to fly in airplanes. What if they fly above a cemetery? Maybe even if there's mace in the airplane, etc. Says Rav Moshe, so again, the airplane's not fleet the talk. That gets into 100 different sugyas, each of which you need to make a lot of assumptions. But the most obvious question is, how can the airplane be mafsik the toma? Anything that's makabel toma is not chotzis with the atoma, and the airplane is makabel toma because it's a klima teches. So most right, the airplane is not a klima teches. Airplanes are made of aluminum and titanium. That's not tummy in the Torah. Aluminum and titanium are not makabel toma. Big, cooler motion. Aluminum and titanium are not makabel toma. Airplanes are not makabel toma. If airplanes are not makabel toma, you add three more assumptions. Then they're chotzis me'atoma, and Kohanim can go on airplanes. You should know one of the biggest factors in the debate over Kohanim on airplanes is this question. When the Torah said rules of klima teches, did it mean all metals or only the six metals in the Torah? And Rav Moshe is mako. And I mean, the only wise Rav Moshe, I don't know if they realize or not, but all the Kohanim go on airplanes, and only 1% of them, you know, are mocked to try and avoid toma. So, you know, knowingly or not knowingly, they rely on Rav Moshe. However, let's look for a second at number 9. It says Rav Moshe, Kli aluminium tzrichim tvila, etc. Hinei kli aluminium shematekes chadoshes lo nizkor v'krad nirat v'na Torah and tzrichim tvila. Okay, there he says, not listed in the Torah, d'im mashe nakar kroshe shmini v'shmo seyem lo nakar kval kol min kli matkos m'chroch lomar t'dav kahanim yichabu toma v'tzrichim tvila v'lo kli aluminium achirim t'a Torah shenim ki ha-kodesh baruch hu. Okay, that's what I said before. Don't say people wrote the Torah and they only knew about six things. Hashem wrote the Torah. And since Hashem knew that we would discover aluminum and titanium and whatever other kind of things, therefore he could have written all metals. At the time, they would have wondered why he didn't write the six things. But then eventually, he would have realized he wanted to include aluminum. Since he only said six metals, only six metals, dafka. Okay, and then he would say proof is Rashi. Why don't we consider glass a metal midoraisa? You can melt it. The answer is because it's not one of the six things in the Parsha. I'm sure there are other good reasons. However, what does he say at the end? Sort of in the middle. If you look, sort of 60% of the way down, there's a comma in the middle of the line, and then the word aval. Aval nira detfila midrabbana and tzarek mokli zechuches. Here, this goes against what I said about plastic, but he says, it needs tfila midrabbana because maybe it's bechal the gzeir of kli zechuches. Okay. And even though it's not so posh, okay, good enough for now. Says Rav Moshe, Chayav Midrabanan. Okay, it's as close as Kli Zechuches. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Mepi Yashmua. He's the Rashi Ketor Vadas, like one of the old door of Rav Moshe in America. He says, Patra Ligamri, why? Because it's not a metal midoraisa, and Chazal goes on Zechukas. How could it be goes on something that hadn't been invented yet? Okay, so here we have three opinions. Shimon Levi, that fits its first role. The Rambam says Chayav midoraisa. Rav Moshe says Patra midoraisa, but Chayav midrabanan. He doesn't think for the airplanes it has Thomas Mace midrabanan. No, midrabanan, there were gozer Thomas Mace, but they were gozer on, and he is. I simplified to explain why, but they are in word gozer Tilas Kalim, Tilas Kleakum, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky leans towards saying it seems to be that Paskin that it's Pato Lagamri. Halacha Lamaisa, some posts say that if you have an aluminum, not an aluminum pan, let's say an aluminum pot, right? I own an aluminum pot. It looks like a regular pot, but very light and not shiny. They're very cheap. I got a call once. This, by the way, here's a little tip. People get into all kinds of trouble with tefillas kelim. You travel abroad and you say, I'm not going to worry about tefillas kelim, I'll just buy disposable. You don't realize that in non-super developed countries, there is no disposable. Someone calls me and says, I just landed in Hungary for 2 weeks. I figured I'd buy disposable. There are no disposable utensils in Hungary because they're too poor. So what do you do? So I get a call from someone. I'm in Jordan. I just bought an aluminum pot. Does it need tefillah? And I said, you mean an aluminum pan, right? Like, no, an aluminum pot. Like a regular pot. It's just made of aluminum and it was very cheap. You know, it was like, you know, $5 instead of $50. So an aluminum pot, does it need tefillah or not? So that's my focus here. Lemaisa, many posts say you should total it with the bracha. In my opinion, I told him, it's good to be on the safe side. And since there is a tzad to say, Sir Yaakov Kamenetsky did say Pachal Gamre, and it's not clear, and it's a new question, I would total it without a bracha. But the vast majority opinion is that it needs to be totaled if you buy an aluminum pot.
Where did he
total it? I don't remember what happened next. I mean, I probably knew at the time, but this was a long time ago. I mean, maybe the Jordan River, but that's where you are in Jordan. Anyway, this other Talmud of mine in Hungary, I said, why don't you just go to Lake Ntobel? He's like, the nearest lake is further away than like the whole length of the country of Israel. Jordan, not so much. Even Jordan, but other countries are very large. The trick we saw at the end is you sell it to a guy. That's the last simon in this simon. We will get to it. Yes, Jeremy.
Where do you think Rob?
I don't know. I don't think he says. I think so. He didn't say. He said nearer to the tefillin Rabban and Tzar. So I'm not sure. It could be a Moshe. Would also have been, you know, I'm not sure. Because he doesn't say explicitly. But it could be. He doesn't say explicitly. It could be. Okay. What? I would say not to make a bracha, if you ask me. Just, be nizer from bracha levatala. I know some people told with a bracha, some people told without a bracha. Okay, if you ask me, I'll go without a bracha. You know, just be nizer from the suffix. The other, but of course, what's the most relevant question is, what about aluminum pans, not aluminum pots? Right? What about aluminum pans?
Why is that not? This is not aluminum. Or if there's a pot, you're probably
attempting to... It's just that when they make aluminum pots, they make them to be used permanently. When they make aluminum, you can't make a pot that's flimsy, but you can make a pan that's flimsy. What?
They had this aluminum pot.
Oh, they do?
Yeah,
okay, fine. So I didn't do a pot or pan. That was just an example I'm familiar with. Victor, what about disposable aluminum cable, right? That's very, very common. We all use aluminum pans that are disposable. What about aluminum pans that are disposable? So here, there are two svaras. I mean, you could think of three svaras to make. Number one would be aluminum sputter. But that's not a good svar to be make, because almost everyone agrees either chayiv d'oraisa or chayiv d'rabbanan. But if you look at number 10, the next Igros Moshe says, kelim l'shem shavshim pam achas l'inyan tefila. He says, hinei kelim l'shem l'shimish pam achas kel harbi pam einu ruyim. Right? He doesn't mean you decide to throw it out. If I buy a very, very nice kli, and I decide I'm going to throw it out of using it once, it's still chayiv d'tefila, because that's just me being weird. The heft of the kli is a valid kli suda. But what if it's meant to be disposable, right? Why is it meant to be disposable? Because you can't use it too many times. It's not built for repeated use. Most people only use it once. Right? That sounds like our aluminum pans. Most people use it once and throw it out. Some people are a little more economical, frugal. That's a good word. Or a little more frugal. And they use it a few times. But no one uses it 10 times because it's just not built for that. So what about that case? So he quotes the Rambam Parakvid, the beginning Parakvid of Kalim, that Kalim made out of lefes and esrog and galas yivashim, dried fruits, are tahorim. They're not makabaton. Because they're disposable. They can't last a long time. What does Rambam say? Whatever can't last a long time is not considered a chalos kli for Tumah v'Tahara purposes. Mashba afshashayt shtam kemish v'am. It sounds like he didn't say once. He says, won't last a lot. It says adzman mu'at, even if you use it a few times. It's kind of kli. It's not like a regular kli. etc. etc. What does he say? He says, you see by Tumah v'Tahara, it's not called a kli if it's disposable. So likewise, by Tvilas Kalim, it's not called a kli if it is disposal of the bima. Do we compare the getter of kli by Tvilas Kalim and Tumah B'Tara? And most achronim say yes. So says Rav Moshe, if it's disposable, it's not a kli. If it's not a kli for Tumah purposes, it's not a kli for our purposes, and you don't have to tobel it. Just 1 second, the Minchas Yitzchak, number 11, says the same thing. He says, Al Dvar Sheila, Dvar Machto, Shalumin and Dakin, Sheofim Bahem, it said, Vinas, Vidar Kal, Shem, Shabrakat, Pami, Madinam, Limitvila. And then he quotes the Rambam, a similar Rambam, what is something made out of a horn? And you throw it out if you use it, it's not a Kamatoma, it's not a kli, etc. And he quotes the main Tvilas Kalim, Nichta, second paragraph 11, the Akumi Tuma, Kal, Pronto. Do we be prat, learn the getter of kli, make a sushtel, an extrapolation from Tumah B'Tara to Tvilas Kalim? And he says the big machlokas, the Shev Yaakov says you can learn from one to another. The Gedulei Tara says you can't. That's found in the second room of Eger here. Kimbur B'Sifre. Now, Ayin Shav, Ulma, Gimli, Nidon, Mitzotsky, also Shuvashel, Ha, Gedulei Tara, Mashgazna, Yorsh, Mashgazna, Yanin Sar, Shavikim, Mashtam, Shavikim, Tvila, Truvagam, Shel, Sein, Yushakasav, the actual fisha umra umdam shivashami and serve became a little scalpel and kinla habitli tashmash. They say if you leave the food in there too long, it goes bad. So that's not considered a real plea. The other guy, the kind of fila shashwarius, will be like, hey, the royal club on tashmash keva, hake, the royal shashwar keva. Even the Gabili Tara says, yeah, only something you'd use for a long time. If you can't use it for a long time, then it's potter. I will just add one word to him. What does he say? He says the Minchas Yeska, there's two stadim lahakel by disposable kalim. Kalim, what are the two sub lahakel? Number one is that it's not called a kli le'inyan Tumah B'Tara. And number two, he says, that's machlosin the Shav Yaakov and the Gedulei Tara. The Gedulei Tara says, even things that are not kalim for Tumah B'Tara and Tefillah. But even he admits only things you can use for a long time. And I will just add a magic word that he doesn't use. What's his second side? Is that Eino Nikra Klisuda. There's a special getter called Klisuda. That's what the getter Klisuda only, not something you use in a meal. You use a little bit of a meal. It's only called a Klisuda or a Klitashmish for our purposes if you can use it for a long time with food. If it's Mishayim, you can use it for a long time with food. So it says there are two Sutton Lahakel. Maybe because not Makabel Tumah, it's not Makabel, or even if Chiyuv Tvilas Kalim was a separate getter, maybe it doesn't meet the requirements of that separate getter. Halacha lemaisa, Rav Moshe says potter, the Minchas Yitzchak says potter, the Chafetz Yaakov, all the poskim say potter. Almost all the poskim that I've ever seen say potter, lemaisa. Not to mention that they're all made of aluminum, which is another tata hakel, potter, lemaisa. You don't have to tell me your aluminum pants. The only question is, here where it gets a little tricky, is where do you draw the line? The Minchas Yitzchak and the Chafetz Yaakov, which I didn't bring here, talking about using it once and throwing it out. Rav Moshe says, you can be nitpicky, I can use it a few times. Where exactly do you draw the line? After all, maybe if you decide, there are some people who are very frugal, they use the aluminum pants as long as they can. Doesn't end up being that long, but they try to stretch it as much as they can. What if you stretch it as much as they can? In my opinion, it's not so clear, because Rav Moshe says a few times, says two or three times. That not or not, the other person can say one time. In my opinion, if you're going to use it once and throw it out, you can make it without any doubt. If you're going to be frugal and use it as long as you can, then I wouldn't go around preaching to everyone giving them mussar. But if you're going to be frugal and use it many, many times, you should tell them without a bracha. Okay, hard to with a bracha. A, it's aluminum. B, it's still disposable. Lemaisa, if you ask me my hachra, I would say, if you're like most people, use it once and throws it out. Interestingly, if you buy the Israeli ones, you actually can't use them more than once because they're so thin. Only if you buy the American ones in Israel, you can stretch it out a little more. In my family, we decided to be frugal, and we buy the American aluminum pans. We tumble them without a bracha, and then we use them many times.
But before that, we used to not be so frugal, and we just used it once and throw it out, and then we didn't tell them. So Allah Hamai said, if you're going to use it once like most people and throw it out, you don't have to tell them. If you're going to use it once like most people, even if like on rare occasions you might say, well, I hardly use it, I'll use it twice, you don't have to tell them. But if you're going to try to use it as long as you can before throwing it out and be frugal, then lechachila, I think you should tell them without a bracha. Kaf nero lenias daitid lahabri. No, that's once. That's once. Yeah, that's once. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Eitan. To the best of my knowledge, the bedatz hechsherim on the kippur. First of all, the bedatz tins I think don't require tefillas kelim because you can't use them twice because they break right away. They're very thick. But also, I think the bedatz. I've been told the bedatz stamp on the pan on the aluminum pans means they're potter from tefillas kelim because they've been made by Jews. Exactly what that means, we'll get to. Not if you buy the American style ones.
He doesn't say
the word suda. He just says the getter of kli for this halacha. I just added the word suda because that's a phrase that comes off in our. I just added a catchphrase. I didn't change this far. I just added a word so it'd be resonant with us. Okay, any other questions? Enough.
In the case like the guy who's been hungry for like 2 weeks, would that be considered shot to use the disposable?
No, it doesn't help. They don't sell disposable hungry. Right? That was his discovery when he got there. He couldn't even get by a disposable plastic fork to eat with because there are no disposable kilo in Hungary because it's only rich countries that have disposable kilo. Right? In Hungary, why would anyone ever buy something and throw it out? I think that's healthy.
Just buy a glass, but like glass bottles.
And we'll get to it. That's Makoros number 18 through 23. Oh no, whoa, are those Makoros missing? We're missing the Makoros about like glass bottles. Okay, so I'll have to add another page. Thank you for pointing that out. Okay, but we can't get to it today in any case because I didn't add that page. Let's go weiter in the Shulchan Aruch then. Says the Ramah. Yay, Shomrim. Binyamin, can you get the board? Right? Remember the instructions? Right? Use your fingers to get it, minimize the white space, and try and take an angle where you don't have glitter, which means coming from the right. Thank you. Don't worry, I won't say that every time. Okay. Yesh Omer says Ramah. The Kira Tsum Ba'over Afilu Bifnim Yipoblo Bracha. Some people say that Kalim that are Mitsupin with metal, even on the inside, where the Mechaber says Mitsupin on the inside is Vadai Chayim Tzvila, you should tovel without a bracha. Sipo, you should tovel without a bracha. Why Sipo, you should tovel without a bracha? What's the Svara that he says you should tovel without a bracha? After all, the Gemara says, Klei Kunya Kasofo. The Gemara says, Hilv is not Kasofo. Halach is what you put in the end, is that you follow the coding, and the coding is metal. So you could have said maybe in a different shot in the Gemara, but what the Achronim say, if you look, for example, in Rabbi Kiva Eger, the fourth Rabbi Kiva Eger, Yit Belenu Bula Bracha, Via Mitsupa Mi Bifnim Ubi Bachutz Ton Bracha Pri Chadash. No, the Rambam meant even if it's on the inside, the Madison's on the outside. The Gemara was talking about it's totally coated with metal. Then it's Bada with the Bracha that's in the Gemara. But the Rambam meant when he was Machmer, like I think he says there were being parents here, Smach means there were being parents, that goes to Smach. The Rambam meant if it's only on the inside, we're not sure if that's what the Gemara meant. The Gemara meant coated. Coated is all sides. If it's totally coated, that's Vada. You say a Bracha. That's where the Eger brings down. And the other poskim, the other poskim as well. So let's just put this on the board. What about, and this is going to come up a little, what about coated cable? Right? What about Sepoy? Forget about Sepoy glass. Sepoy Mateches. So, what are the three cases? One case is mi bachutz umi bifnim. Right? That's not discussed explicitly in the poster.
Right? The Ramah doesn't say, but Rabbi Akiva Eger brings it in Chadash, and other Achronim agree that's the Mefurish Gemara. Likman Yukha Sofa, Chayav, Litmo, Bibracha. Okay, that is Rabbi Akiva Eger. What about Rakbi Bifnim? So here, the Machaber says Chayav, Chayav Vada, right? And the Ramah says, Yesh Omrim, to be mach, we're doing without a bracha. Why? Because the smack says maybe you're potter. Right? So says the Ramah, Safik. Why would it be potter if it's coated inside? What's the svar of the smack? So the Taz here brings down, Sivan Gimel, that Sivayifnim Eno Eloi. Because if it was really a coating to make it a strong clean, it would have been on the inside and outside. If the tzipoy is only on the inside, maybe it's only for decoration, and maybe it's a coating for decoration doesn't count. Because nine is bottle. So what's the svara? Svara is ulai eino elo lanoi upotter. We paskin, of course, as Ashkenazim. Paskin like grandma. If something is coated with metal only on the inside, then we told them without a bracha, because that's not the exact case of the Gemara. And maybe the Gemara Mount is coated on all the sides, which is to make it strong. Not when it's coated on the inside only, which perhaps is only for decoration. How about, what's the last case? What case am I missing? Right, what if it's coated only on the outside?
We must have few.
So the Mechaber says, if it's Mitzoker Ba'avar Mibethnim, you're told it. The clear D is very clear. It's Mitzoker Mibethnim. So you don't cover it. You don't total it. Right? So the diuk of the Mechaber is that you're potter. But as Jeremy points out, the diuk of the Ramah is, he says, even if it's mitzuper bifnim, you total without a bracha. Kol shekein if it's mitzuper bachutz, you total without a bracha. Right? You're not going to say kol shekein if it's mitzuper bachutz, because that's with a bracha. Right? So the diuk of the Ramah is that, you're suffic, chayim without a bracha. Says the Shach here in Sivkat and Dalet, but Mordechai Kasav the Shemer of being Peretz, the Afilo Einu Mitzvah Mechutz, but Aver Yitbolenu below Bracha or Mibrei Baruch. I think it's Rabbeinu Peretz. I'll be Rav Yah, and that's Rav Yah. Although they point out Mordechai himself did not hold that way. Says the Shach, he agrees. Told without a bracha, even if it's only coated on the outside. However, that is a little controversial. I didn't bring the sefer here. The Chochmas Adam Paskins against this Diyuk in the Ramah. He doesn't make this Diyuk in the Ramah. He Paskins against the Shach that it is Potter Legamri. And the Orcha Shulchan also disagrees with this Diyuk in the Ramah and Paskins Potter Legamri and wrote that Noah Gim Lohakel. So the Chochmas Adam and the Orcha Shulchan say Potter. It's not they disagree with Ramah. They disagree with the Shach and disagree with this diuk in the Ramah. You know, it seems like a good diuk. Okay, but they don't make this diuk in the Ramah. Halacha l'maisa ad hayom zeh. There's never been talking about it. What's the svara for why they think it's Potter? And if you look at the Beis Yosef, he quotes many Mishnayos as Potter. I forgot to bring my Torah. But he quotes many Mishnayos as Potter. What's the svara of Potter if it's only Sukkim Bechutz? Don't say it's for decoration. Because if it's for decoration, then we know whatever's for decoration is a suffix. What's as far as they put the legamri if the metal is bechutz? Because it doesn't touch the food. Because the metal is bechutz, the metal doesn't touch the food. Maybe the metal doesn't touch the food, it doesn't count. The whole point is not touches the food, is that's what makes the clay suda. See, it's tricky. The metal doesn't touch the food, but on the other hand, the metal is part of a clay that touches the food. Right? So, that's basically my focus. Everyone agrees that what doesn't touch the food is potter. That is siftalit. The stove grates don't need to be told because they don't touch the food. Right? They only touch the pans, the pots. However, here it's tricky. The metal on the outside doesn't touch the food, but maybe just part of a kli that does touch the food. So the kli touched the food and the kli has some metal, and maybe that's enough. So that's the machlokas. The shach would say, no, the metal is part of a kli that touched the food. It's one unit. That unit touched the food and has metal. It touched the food on the inside and has metal on the outside, but nonetheless, there's a unit that combines metal and touching food. That's the shach. But it's only decorative, so it's a suffix. And the Aruch HaShem would say, no, you don't look at it as a unit. The part that touches the food is not metal. The part that's metal doesn't touch the food, so there's no chiyuv.
Right, what's the svara? It's because the mateches eino nogeya ochel.
Halacha l'maisa ad hayom zeh, there are different minhagim about this. This comes up sometimes. Actually, this comes up much more than this. No one ever asked me shayla about a kli that was made of something else and coated the metal on the inside. They did. Okay, I'm going to take a look at it. But it happens all the time that sometimes you have for decoration. You have these like plastic travel mugs of metal for decoration on the outside, etc. Like something's a metal decoration on the outside. Halacha l'maaseh, there are some people who say total without a bracha like the shach. The Aruch HaShulchan says the minhag is the hakel in this case. Narrowly, I think the mainstream minhag is the hakel. I know in the OU website they have guidelines to Felix Kalin written by Rafelski, who was no longer with us, but he was one of two main poskim for the OU besides our very own Schechter, Lahabdil Chaim Chaim. But he says that the minhag is like the Aruch HaShulchan to Pater. Both minhagim are still around, but nearer than we can be somewhere from the Aruch HaShulchan, who says the minhag of Olam, and many minhagim are supposed to write that, and assume that if the metal doesn't touch the food, it's Pater, and that comes up a few. This machlokes in the Shach and the Aruch HaShulchan and some later Aharon comes up many times in this. It's like a recurrent theme in this siman. Are you only chayiv if the metal touches the food, or are you chayiv as long as the metal is part of a unit? And that unit touched the food. That's the etzema focus.
What about like a wood bowl and a metal bowl that's a magnet? So it's removable, but let's really try to remove it. It's one.
Say that again?
Put a magnet in the wood and a magnet in the metal. I have one of these bowls. It's a good thing. It's weird. But, and then if you attach them, they're one unit and they're very like stuck together. If you try to attach them, then you can attach them. So is that one unit?
Like one fits in the other, like one is
a
coated in the other.
Metal bowl, and it goes a wooden bowl, and it attaches the magnet.
And the metal, so it's coated with metal on the outside through a magnet. So first of all, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, you're pater anyway, because the metal doesn't touch the food. And in this case, since the coating is not, I don't really know. There's lots of halacha that talk about how attached counts as attached, right? That's a classic, just where to draw the line issue in halacha. I haven't seen discussion of magnets, and even if I had, it wouldn't help, because how strong are the magnets? And go figure out how to write that in a book. So I don't know, but nearly means the idea. I would say, plus you don't have to total that, because A, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, the minhag olam, you don't have to total anyway if it's coated with metal only on the outside. And B, my intuition is that it counts as two different kelim, in which case it's plus you don't have to total the wooden kli, because it's not metal. You don't have to total the metal kli, because it's not used to touch food. Then it's like a stove.
Maybe the China.
Is that also what? No, not at all. What? You don't know why they glaze China? Why do they glaze China? No, it's also for Noi, maybe. But that's not the reason they glaze China. Why do they glaze China? What? Right, klecheres is boleya, and you can never clean it. Klecheres are disgusting. Like when Chazal tell us how you can't contemplate klecheres, it's not like they have a masor of some abstract, close idea. No, they're just talking about their reality. Like, everyone knew klecheres was disgusting. Someone proved to you from Shas that he used klecheres is disgusting. Is disgusting, is miastic, is so miastic that you would put it aside? Mukta machus mias, right? The sugars of mukta in the third paragraph of Shabbos say, what's mukta machus mias? A used cheres lamp is mukta machus mias. As opposed to a used mateches lamp, which is not mukta machus mias. Right? Meaning, cheres is mukta machus mias. It just gets disgusting. Now, they would live with it, obviously. The reason we glaze our cheres is not to make it look nice, which I'm sure it also doesn't hurt. But you know what? You go to museums, they have cheres that looks very, very nice. The reason we glaze our cheres, this shouldn't be absorbent. Right? Because when cheres absorbs, it absorbs so much that it's just disgusting. And it would not, like, it would not meet modern standards of hygiene. we cannot live with hygienic standards of a real flute terrace. So that's why they glaze terrace. They glaze terrace, make it strong. It's also cute. It also looks nice, but that's not the main use.
So then the architect, is he talking quite through Rabbah? Or is he just saying his own?
He's talking even according to Rabbah. He denies the deity of Rabbah. If you look inside, he shows you how it gets out. Okay. Fighter. A few other issues come up here. For example, number one, the shach is in Sukkot and hay. Okay, there are different talking about how much you mock, but it says the shach lo bracha. He's not talking only about this case. He's talking in general. Every time you have something, you have to tovel without a bracha, because you're mesukkot. So you tovel without a bracha. Why? Well, you're on the safe side, right? There. If you're an Orthodox Jew, you're familiar with this concept by now, right? Whenever you're not sure if you have to do a mitzvah or not, you do it without a bracha, because if you have to do the mitzvah, you've done it. And if you don't have to do the mitzvah, you haven't made a bracha latala. What's the small downside? If you haven't done the mitzvah, so you just did an extra act, and without a bracha latala, no downside. If you have to do the mitzvah, you did the mitzvah. What's the downside? You missed out on saying the bracha. So, what can you do? So usually there's nothing you can do. That's life. Says the shach, there's an answer in Sukkot name. V'nir adish lad bilam izakli acher v'bracha pilkam and sifkes v'king of Israel v'hatter. Ah, there's a way out. When you have a kli that's suffic, whether it's chayim and tefillah or not, just tovel it with another kli that you say a bracha on. And then, the manashach, you have no downside at all, because if you're chayiv, you said the bracha on this other kli and you had in mind all the kelim, and if you're a potter, you didn't make a bracha on tzalik, so you had the other kli. Right? So, okay, that is the accepted halacha. Whenever you have a suffic and tefillah's kelim, the best thing is to tovel it with another kli that's vadei chayiv. Some people go crazy on this, like they have something suffic tefillah's kelim, so they go in and buy something they don't need. So they can tovel it to get out of this suffic brachos. I don't think that's the shach meant. I don't think he meant that you have to go crazy about it. I think he meant that if it's convenient, you should try to do this eitzah to get out of sveikos. But I don't think you have to inconvenience yourself too much in order to be kind of the shach. I don't think he meant to take it that far. Agav, interesting question. What if I have one kli that's chayav and one kli that's potter? So I do the eitzah of the shach. What do I say? Do I say al tevilas kelim? Or al tevilas kelim, right? Good question. So the Pri Chadash and the Darkei Tshuva say al tevilas kelim. If you have one body and one suffix, you say al tevilas kelim. What's the real reason? Because even if you say total one kli, you could say al tevilas kelim. Because you mean kelim in general, right? Lemaisa, the Achra is to say al tevilas kelim when you have one suffix, one body. Okay, one or two other issues that come up here in Rabbi Akiva Eger. Yeah. What?
Is the minhag also get one vaday?
No, the minhag say al tevilas keli when you have one.
Really?
I think so. I mean,
all the signs of the keli, but it's a keli.
Really?
I'm not sure what it says. If you have one, al tevilas
keli.
Again, none of this is a big deal. None of this is a big deal. As a matter of fact, we got to say, Sid Gimel realized there's like 100 different sheets of what to say. It's not a big deal if you say Tfilas Kalim for, and truth is, it's much worse to say Tfilas Kelly for two, because then maybe like you're showing you only had a mind to make the bracha on one, and you deal with that bracha. Say Tfilas Kalim for one, you just mean Kalim in general. This is one example, and there are other examples in other people and other times and other places. But I think the minhag olam say Kelly for one and Kalim for two or more. I mean, whenever you're mesupid, whether you have one or two, maybe you say kelim. But if you always say kelim your whole life for one, it's not a big deal.
I usually don't have one.
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, my voice especially on.
Archivi mekom aleich. Absolutely. Ken Yerbo. Ken Yerbo. That's all of us. We should all need to buy dozens of kelim. Okay. The Rabbi Akiva Eger has a big machlokas, which started out with, they had these big barrels, which were cheres glazed with lead, so they were vadek, they needed tefillah, where they kept wine, and they were too big to fit in the mikvah, and they were stuck, they didn't know what to do. And he brings down this, the machlokes we referred to before, the machlokes between the Knesset, well, here he brings in the Knesset Agdola, and the Mahari, Mialida, I'm not sure exactly, who is, he brings what machlokes Rabbi Akiva Eger bring here in the third Rabbi Akiva Eger. He brings a machlokes, what about kelim that are in, one second, that are used for storage. He says, what about storage cable? He says, machlokas, maybe, he says, davka klisuda by tefillah. What's this gedra of klisuda? There's a mysterious gedra called klisuda. What is this gedra of klisuda and what is it not? So he says, klisuda means things you use for your suda, things that just store. What's his lashon in Rabbi Kiviger? Eino chavias, eino rakede lahachtas b'hem hayayin l'kiyo. You only store things there. Storage is not klisuda. Klisuda is either tikkun ha'ochel or hagashas ha'ochel. Right? Hagashas the matter. Either what makes the food, that's a klisuda. The pot is a klisuda, even though you don't use the pot at your meal, because it prepares the food. The serving dishes and the plates, etc., are klisuda because you eat with them. But a storage container, that's not a klisuda, because it doesn't add to your suda, it just stores things. So maybe that's not called a klisuda. Or maybe it is because it's used with food. That's the machlokas of Rabbi Kiviger. That is a famous machlokas, our storage kiln called klisuda. Why? Because klisuda is unique gedder we only find right here. Right? It's found in the Gemara. Amrali klisuda amur b'parsha. It's a unique gedder found right here. So we don't know what the boundaries of that unique gedder are. So that's the machlokas. If you look in Makor 12, he talks about the same thing. The Shut Beis Yehuda says, v'nachshula dinat slochis, etc. The Afagav, the Kasam, the Chibush, the Matzah, the Shark, the Chuzvay, the Tefillah, because Makom Nira came in the Ein Mishtam, Shem Lishtos, the Amadish, the Kosos, you don't drink with them. The Gamma, the Vatzlovin, you don't cook and make things with them, don't they, Ros? Lo Hashid, Klisuda, if they don't produce, and they're not used for eating, they're just store, that's not a Klisuda. The Hari Ein Nasuina, Lakiyam Ayayin, they're only for storage. But Domo Chavius, Kayotzvehem, the Machzik, the Lakiyam, Lo Shaykh, the Tefillah, etc. Okay, then he quotes, you can look at it at home. He quotes the Knesset Agdola, which Rabbi Eger quotes, who is Machmer on this. But he himself says, if you look at the last line and a half, Mehachtai, the Lifter, Gamke, Mehachtai, Mehilos, Lukios, the Lekha, Tashmish, Be'or, Lochaz, Lishas, Mehem, Yafi, Aloha, Refefes. What it makes you to say, even if you're not sure, Hokhazi, Ma'amad, Dabar. Go look at what people do. The Beis Yehuda is Mekel like this. I don't know if the Beis Yehuda isn't Marbi Yehuda. No, but because he was. Maybe it is. But no, he called the Beis Yehuda something else. Okay. Anyway, the Knesset Gadol is Machber. The Beis Yehuda is Mekel. It's a big machlokas whether storage kelim are Klesuda or are not Klesuda. No one says to make a bracha because you don't want a bracha matalim. It's a big machlokas whether they're machmir or whether we are mako. Very willing paskins that he told me lemaisa says it's not clear by metal we should be machmir told without a bracha. By glass you can be mako. So he says they have a storage container that's not used to improve the food and it's not brought to the table. Once it's brought to the, a cookie jar is brought to the table. That's a serving dish, not a storage container. But when you're in the mountain storage container, something you don't bring to the table to eat from, even to put on your plate from, you don't bring it to the table and it doesn't do anything. That just storage. So a glass storage container, very willing says you can be mekel, and a metal one you should total without a bracha because of this machlokas. In the end, this Riki Vego also seems to be a chriya that you can be mekel by something that's only rabbana and machra or something that's not nice.
Yeah, I'm gonna get there storage container.
No, that's a klisuda. That's a klisuda. Anything which you could eat from or bring to the table is a klisuda. Anything you put in the fridge is a klisuda, because you probably bring it to the table. What we mean is, there's no industrial serving storage containers, or sometimes you have in your pantry, someplace in your house, you know, you buy things, you keep them in this big storage container, and then you take out, you know, a little, you know, a bunch at a time for cooking. An industrial fridge is metal. That's a fascinating example. What about a metal fridge? The fridge is it's used for storage. Now, the truth is that the fridge sometimes doesn't touch the food, but let's say you keep fruits and vegetables and other things in it. Well, usually even usually industrial fridge, the fridge doesn't touch the food.
Is it the
No, because first you have the cooler storage containers. Then you have the cool that a big fridge, some are mach mekel because it's an ohel. And if it's an ohel, maybe it's mufkar from a kli, even though metal is still a kabbal tumet at any
at any size, some people make it look electric, as we'll see. Yeah, there's enough coolers that I wouldn't worry about. I wouldn't worry about fridges. Okay. Some swimmers we don't have to invent. What? We'll get to it. No, but a fridge is not really a carca.
Huge fridge.
Okay.
What about
give me a second look at the first Pesach Tshuva. Here, it's not doing that storage. Your Mavasha, right? Your Mavasha with Shechar. Nearly the Tzrichon Tefila. But they're attached to the ground, right? A lot of industrial equipment is built into the ground, is screwed into the ground. We call Makam like factories, etc. Dino Kelev Ainlem Takanashi Abilem O Yinkov Nek of Guddle, she's bound to Joris Cleve, Harvey Sakan Israel. Okay. Then it comes with another kula that we haven't seen yet. Says the Chachmas Adam, even if it's attached to the ground, it is still considered a kli for our purposes. However, the Shav Yaakov, which is quoted in mine, I have someone called Yad Ephraim. Yours might be in the back, mine is on the side. He calls it the Shvos Yaakov, but I think exactly the Shav Yaakov. He quotes this Kedera Shal Nechosha Shakovim Betanar that you attach to the oven that's attached to the ground. Vaminak Shein Tzar Tvila. Minak is not to Tovlet. Vinasantan Laminak Kim Jakovus of Betanar Betanar Kabu Bekarka. Lonasul Kachila Shdamshem El Mechorer Ve'im Betanar Shom Toma. Similarly, right? But that was not what you mentioned, right? Shav Yaakov Duli Tara. Right? What if something's not makabel toma because it's attached to the ground? If it's attached to the ground, it's not a kli, not makabel toma, and it is, and it doesn't need to be told. Then the chachmas adam in the first pesach was machmer. So it's the chachmas adam in the geduli tara versus the shav yaakov. What other things are attached to the ground? I think the minig's like the shav yaakov that things that are attached to the ground we see more potter because they're not kli. So that's a good. That's good. All right, again. This day, Chuba Sukkot and Aleph quotes the Chacham Sadeh was Machmer. The Yad Ephraim in Sethei quotes the Shav Yaakov, who is Mekel. And I think the Minhag is like the Shav Yaakov to be Mekel. Okay, what else do we want to mention? And then I'll take questions. Two other things. I want to mention the third and fourth Pesach Chubas. Okay, I'll mention the second also. Second quotes from the Yaveh, from Yaakov Emner, and Porcelain. It's not so clear what he meant by porcelain, I must admit, because there's porcelain and there's china. China is like glazed cheres. Porcelain is something else. It's just a type of cheres that's shiny. But it's not glazed. So it's always hard to tell what people mean by these. So he says that porcelain, which is like zechuchis, doesn't need tefila, even though it's very smooth and shiny, because it's really kind of cheres. Okay, but l'chora, I think he was talking about real porcelain. There's something called porcelain. Like, you know what's porcelain? If you have a sink that's a cheres, that's not metal or silicon or quartz, or toilets are porcelain. Right? That's how you can tell that porcelain is pretty strong in Apuleia, because there's one thing you want to make out of material that's Apuleia, it's toilets, right? So toilets are porcelain, old sinks are porcelain. Nowadays they make them either out of metal or out of quartz. But the old sinks are porcelain. So porcelain, the Yavi says, is a kli cheres. It's not actually glass at all. It's not even glazed. It's just a kli cheres. And it doesn't need tefila. Okay, the Aruch HaShulchan says in some place there were no need to be machmer, but I think, we don't have a lot of porcelain. Like, we don't normally have porcelain dishes, actual porcelain. But actual porcelain is not kli cheres covered by glass. It's a different kind of cheres that becomes hard and shiny. It's a different burial. Okay, Gimel, the Pesach Tshuva points out something very important. I forget who he's quoting, but it doesn't matter because it's just the Rav Poshut for all, you know, Jews. He says, you can't tovel a kli half at a time. Let's say your kli doesn't fit in your mikvah. You can't put in the bottom half, turn it upside down, put in the top half. You can do that by Hagala. And Hagala, let's say you have this long of a kli and this big of a pot, no problem. Put it in, turn it upside down, put the other half in, and you're fine. You can buy the Allah part half at a time, as long as you make sure to get all of it in the end. But you can't do tefillah all or nothing. Because Haggadah is a cleansing. So if you clean one, half clean the other, it's okay. Tefillah is not a cleansing, it's a halos. Right? The water doesn't actually do anything, it's just halos. A halos either happens or it doesn't. You can't do it half at a time. And therefore, it has to be all in the water at once. Very important. says it's gotten dalad, it's only come up sometimes. The Chachzor discusses, can you total in snow? Does snow count as a nikah?
Let's say you have a lot of snow. 40 saw of snow. It's very hard for you to measure this in one place. You have a lot of snow. Can you total in the snow?
This came up. This is part of the question when someone called the Talmud calling from Hungary. He says, but there's snow all over the place.
Can I total in the snow?
So, says the Chacham Sadam, and this one is accepted by the Poskim, the Pesach Tshuva Dalet.
He says, metal, you cannot total in the snow. Even if you're stuck, we're not metal. We assume that we're machmir that snow doesn't count for the mikvah, you can't total metal in the snow. However, glass, if it's a big shasat chak, you can make it to total in snow.
Okay,
that's how we pass. If it's a big shasat chak, you can total glass in snow, but even a shasat chak, you can't total metal in snow, because metal is no rice.
Okay, so...
Snow is dug into the ground?
Because
then the
mikvah dug out? So here, it's not... Mutter little kitzchub shalgim hu b'makom echad.
Okay, we have to figure out what it means by... that's fair. What does he mean if it's makom echad? Like, does it have to be in a hole? Does the valley count?
He says, he discusses this over here. What does he say? And I admit that the poskim are a little unclear.
I would assume it's about the same point as the previous one.
Let's one second. So he says here in the Pesach Tshuva, Sim Nereish Aleph, the end of Sukkot Chaf Aleph, it says it has to be in a valley or a pit. In a valley or a pit, not just stam on flat ground. But if you're in a valley, then that is then that's good enough.
Okay. Sip base.
What?
When you told the glass in the snow, you would do it without a bracha. When the shasakak went away, you would total it again without a bracha in a real mikvah. Correct. Okay, Sif base. Oh, sorry, I want to mention number 13, just very briefly. You know how we'll get to it. There's a big shaila. How do you total electric cable? Because if you total them, maybe they'll break, maybe they won't. We'll come back to it. What was the first electric cleat that they had the shaila about? If you think back, I don't know, comic strips or movies or something, it was like 60 years ago, toasters. Not toasters, toasters. Right, when they first invented toasters, they asked for Moshe Feinstein, do you have to total the toaster? But if you total it, it'll break, because it's electric. So Moshe Feinstein came up with a big kula on toasters. That's number 13, or I won't read it inside. He says, a toaster is not a kusuda. You don't have to total it. Why? Because it doesn't do anything. You don't eat from it. You don't bring it to the table. And it doesn't make bread. The bread's already made. It just toasts the bread, which is not a significant difference. Like, who cares if the bread is toasted or not? Since what it does is not significant, but the improvement that it does to your food is not significant, therefore that's not called a kusuda. That's a big tradition of Rav Moshe. I mean, a little bit England over self. Really? Like, you have to figure out how significant. But he says, it's already baked. It takes an already baked, ready-to-eat product and just makes an insignificant difference to it. That's not called a kusuda. And he compares it to just storage. He says, after all, it's even less than storage. Storage is necessary to prevent it from spoiling. This is not necessary at all. I wouldn't have looked at that. I would say this is more than storage. Storage doesn't change anything. This improves it. But Rose says, this is even less than storage. You need to store things. But you don't need toast. Toast is just stuff. Okay, that's Ramosha's big finish with Google by toasters. Lemaisa, you know, if I told my toaster, I wouldn't make a bracha, because maybe Ramosha's right, but this Ramosha's a big fish. The other post can
totally agree with that. He's assuming that it wouldn't break theoretically, then you still have to, or he's saying you need both stars?
No, okay, fair enough. He says something. He says, like, nearly is daiti be'etzim without shasachak, I was making and kol shigim with shasachak. He says, be'etzim I can make without shasachak, and for sure it is shasachak. What do you mean, be'etzim? It could be, he would say, if it won't break, you might as well total without a bracha, but be'etzim he thinks it's mutter even without a shasachak. Even though he was only talking about a shasachak.
It's enough, though, it's not going to break.
That's what he says, yeah.
Okay, if your toast is going to break, it's what to rely on. We'll get to it. That's Makoros 14 through 17. Okay, should we talk about them now? Okay, why don't we talk about this now? We'll go far in the Shofanar on, what day is it? Okay, on Sunday. So just be prepared to fly in Shofanar on Sunday. But these are important things. Let's talk a little bit about, but keep going ahead in Shofanar, but Electric Kingdom. Right? 14 through 17. What's the status of Tovaling Electric Kalim? What's the problem with Tovaling Electric Kalim? The main problem with Tovaling Electric Kalim is that you're afraid it could break because they all say do not immerse, right? Or aim the gold of mine in Israel, right? So, do you have to Tovaling Electric Kalim now? Basically, everyone's looking for a kula to get you out of Tovaling Electric Kalim. So what's the kula to get you out of Tovaling Electric Kalim? So, one kula is the Chalkas Yaakov. Says the Chalkas Yaakov in number 14, Bini Kliya also Mechana Teve Kafe Bekoch HaChashmal Shebo. Okay, some sort of urn or something? Or no, that's not an urn. It was an immersion heater. You know what an immersion heater is? Like you plug it and you stick it in the water and it boils the water. So what does he say? He says, let's just go to 14 Gibel. Achim finis daiti yishetar bar l'shtam shav l'tfilo fiyam rur b'chum b'shvas yakov simil amin aleph mubim b'i hagos yad Ephraim that I read to you before. He passed the b'shvas yakov l'tzas v'kidim shetal sofer tzorach l'sham yakov. Okay, that's why I said probably shav yakov. He keeps saying this again. You should know. It's the first word in the seventh paragraph of the comic, you might remember. But even something attached to the ground, if it was tolosh and then you attach it to the ground, it's still a clean, it's not makabel toma. It's only not makabel toma if it was manufactured originally with the intent to only use it attached to the ground. Okay, that's just something to keep in mind. So for example, you know, if you're a Kohen and you want to build like a partition between you and the dead bodies, you can't like just take like old desks or something, take old Caleb and screw them onto the wall. It has to be something that was originally manufactured for the sake of using it attached to the ground. Okay, but let's say this is so. So he says, fine, this has to be attached to the ground. You have to plug it in. When you plug it in, it's attached to the ground. Right? That was the causation of the cover. That's why he thought it was bona to do anything electrical Shabbos. It's all attached to the ground. Yesh bona bekarka. So he says, what does he say? He says it's only useful when it's attached to the ground, plugged in. That's the half of the Chalkas Yaakov. An electric kli is called Mechobar L'Karka. Now, it's a funny kind of attached to the ground. It's not the regular kind of attaching. You don't, like, screw it in. He's not talking about an electric kli that's screwed onto a wall. He's talking about plugged in. I'm not sure I would call that attached to the ground. But because plugging in is called attached to the ground. Okay, that's one of the kulas by electric. Svaros L'Hakel Bikli Chashmami. One, Chalkas Yaakov, Mechobar L'Karka. However, that's not a great Sad L'Hakel. I mean, it's enough that I wouldn't make a bracha. One, because all the other posts would disagree with him. And two, because even he only uses that in limited circumstance. Even he says this only is a p'tur for things that are only useful when they're plugged in. But some kelim are useful even when they're not plugged in. Like, for example, number 14, he says, if you look at 14 Gimel, the last paragraph of 15, he says, he's talking about an urn. He says, I'll read it outside. He says, hold on a second, an urn you could use even when it's not plugged in. You can fill it with water. You use it with cold water, it's not plugged in. You could plug it and boil the water and move it someplace else to serve the water, it's not plugged in.
anything that can do anything when it's not plugged in, he's not Makelon. So he's Makel, he'd be Makel on an immersion heater, but not on an urn. So for each kli, some kelim, they can do something when they're mechaber, when they're unplugged, and some kelim, they can't. But it only works for kelim that do nothing when they're not plugged in.
A book stopper? Can you use a hand blender as a book stopper?
No. He means something that's part of its normal use. So anything that holds water, you could use when it's not plugged in. It still holds the water. So it would be a limited hector. So he comes up with another hector for that. And he says that what you could do is, I don't know how practical this is. He says you could total it, but like use your finger to lightly block like the hole where it plugs in so the water won't get inside. I don't know how practical that one is. Okay, but that's his other Eitza. For things that are useful even when they're unplugged, he says, block the water from entering into the kli. Okay, how? You have to like get your finger wet and put it on it so that it covers the water of the mikvah, the water can't get in. Okay, number 16. Says the Shevet Alevi, though, you asked about this Dutch and Vashlo Mayim al Yaday Electri, what does he say? Fourth line of 16, in shum hetter lepatra mitzvila, michshash kilko chelik alektri. In shum hetter, there's no hetter whatsoever. Okay, he says there's no hetter. What does the Rebbe Moshe say? In 17, he has a big chiddush. He has a big chiddush. Bidvar kelim shum vashim belektri shi efter letovla mishum shemakam alektri ein lahavi mayim shi iskalkel. That's fine, etc. Tripods, fourth line of 17, came into please over Shnedvar, so in an urn. Lamata, Umakum Shimura Hamachal is Bashel, Umala Hutte Electric Shu, Esham Bashel, Tvila Rakhiz, if the attach to the Simishamachal, Makam Elion Sham, Hutte Electric, Ain, Sort Tvila, Sort Lifol Rakhiz, attacked of Aloha Elion. Moshe is a big finish. You can consider two different kelim. There's the part with the wires and the part that holds the food. The part that holds the food needs tefillah. The part with the wires doesn't need tefillah. It's not a misuga. His chiddush is the afshikli echadu ein tzarich lipo kulo du nifta olin atachnu hashigam elin tisuda kevin the mishtamishu lamakam eishu tashmish acher bein lein it's the same kishnei kulon kelim amchubarim. It's considered like two kelim, the electric part and the part that holds the food. What's his dimayon? Let's say you want to boil water on your stove. There's the part with the fire and the part that holds the food, the kettle and the stove. So an urn is a kettle and a stove together, but the kettle and the stove are separate, so you only need to total the kettle part, not the stove part. And then he gets into, but the bottom of the kettle part is attached to the stove part, and the water's not getting there. He says, no problem, it's a base hastarim. He has a lot of longness there. That's where Moshe's big kula. Many people, Red Miller passed like this for Moshe. I think it's a tremendous fetish that none of the other folks can say. But, says the Igris Moshe, only Tovel, the part that holds the food. A, this is a tremendous fetish in Svara. Many, many Hushi among us, he assumes. B, I'm really not sure how this will ever work physically. If I take this urn, let's say I don't want the water to get into the part with the electric, just the part that holds the water. So what do? I turn the urn upside down. I stick it in, only till like the metal part hits the black part or whatever, right? Is that a valid tefillah? Even according to Rav Moshe, what's going to happen? I turn it upside down, I stick it in, so that the water covers all the part that holds the water, but not the part that has the wires. The problem is, when I stick it upside down, it's going to have an air pocket, and the water's not going to go on the inside of the urn unless I turn it sideways. Once I turn it sideways, now the water runs into the part with the wires. I just don't understand the physics how Rav Moshe's Eitza works. If I total it sideways, the water got into the part with the wires. If I total it upside down, the water never got inside anything because there's an air pocket there that prevents the water from entering. So I don't understand this Rav Moshe among us. I don't understand this Rav Moshe in his case, at least practically. Okay, Lamaisa, there are many people who make it like Rav Moshe, but it's very tricky.
What are some other etzas? What are some other etzas? So one etzah is Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Sif Aleph. Give me half a second, sorry. Where is this? Yeah, the third Rabbi Akiva Eiger. What's another etzah? This is not about electric. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, I'll put a star. I mean, he wasn't talking about electric cable, obviously. What's his etzah? Harama limkar l'goy. Sell it to a goy. How does that help? When you buy a kli from a goy, you have to topple it. But if you don't buy a kli from a goy, it's still goyish. You don't have to topple it. You're not high to topple a goy's kale, only a Jew's kale. So if you sell it to a goy, then you don't have to topple it. Oh, it's a harama, because you have to sell it to a goy. Okay, like the many other haramas we do. The Chachmas Adam mentions another. It's again, the Chachmas Adam is also not talking about electricity, obviously. Says the what? Yes, it's a different kind of harama. Then, you know, we're not getting to it now. His suggestion is break it and have a Jew fix it. If it's broken and a Jew fixes it, then it just gets ready to be manufactured by a Jew. And now it's a Jewish kli. How broken does it have to be? So, by the way, there are people now, they use Shalayim, who provide a service. You pay them a certain amount of money, they'll break it and fix it. How broken does it have to be? Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, broken enough that you need a professional to fix it. If a Baal HaBos can fix it, that's not broken. Okay, that's in many areas of halacha, we say that's the getter broken, that you need a professional. Okay, these are basically the Chalkes Yaakov has a kula, mechor, at least in some cases. Then there are eitzahs. Rav Moshe has a kula slash eitzah. You know, here is an eitzah. Here is an eitzah. Here is an eitzah. I don't know how practical. Here is a kula slash eitzah. The eitzah is the total only half, but not the other half. The kula is that works. Here is a kula. Okay. It's a little tricky. What does Rav Schechter say? Rav Schechter's famous quote is saying, I don't know if he really says it. Okay. Rav Schechter's famous quote is saying that people love this. Because love this also found Rav Shlomo Zalman in a different context. He says, Is it an iser to use non-tovel kelim or a mitzvah say to tovel kelim? No, it's a mitzvah say to tovel kelim, right? It's a mitzvah say to tovel your kelim. So he says, hold on a second, it's a mitzvah say to tovel kelim. What if you can't tovel it because it'll break? Then you're punched with a mitzvah say on the Zerpa Tatri. Now here's the difference. Let's say you're not allowed to eat unshefted meat and you're an unus, you can't sheft. So can you eat meat? No, because it's fundamentally an isser. There's a way to fix the isser. If you're honest, you can't fix the isser remains. But let's say you're honest, you can't put up a mezuzah. Can you live in a house without a mezuzah? Yes, because there's nothing trade for that a house without a mezuzah. Just like you're chayv to mitzvah, say to a mezuzah. And if you're honest, you can't put on a mezuzah, you can live in the house anyway. It's not usher to live in a house without a mezuzah. It's usher to not do mitzvah, say, but if you're honest, you're putting mitzvah, say. How does tefillas kelim? Is it like an isser, and if you're honest and can't fix the isser, then still don't do the isser? Or no, it's a mitzvah say. If you're honest, you're potter with a mitzvah say, and then go ahead and use the kli. So Rav Schechter paskins, and Rav Shlomo Zalman also says this in different contexts on the sheet. It's not an isser, it's a mitzvah say. If you're honest and can't do the mitzvah say, then you're potter with a mitzvah say. If you're potter with a mitzvah say, then you're still allowed to rent. The Mordechai says, the Mordechai takes it further. But it could be many shalom would agree. Let's say you live in a desert island without any tzitzis. You're still allowed to wear clothing in the old days without tzitzis. That's not because you're pashtun. It's not say. So says Schechter. You're honest. You can't tovel it. So you tovel. Keep in mind, there's no mitzvah to tovel kelim and throw them in the garbage. Mitzvah is only to tovel kelim that then you'll use for food. But if you tovel it, it'll break. Then there's no mitzvah. If there's no mitzvah to say, then you're pashtun. You can use it anyway. It's funny, a lot of the Echron didn't totally sound that way. A lot of the Echron didn't sound that way. Okay, but that's Rav Schechter says. Sorry, let's give ourselves some more space. Says Rav Schechter, big finish. He says, he has a kula. It's not an eitzah, this is a kula. He says, you are potter because ones rachmana patre. Ah, you can't eat unshefted meat because you're honest not to sheft. Yeah, because that starts as an isser. Here, it doesn't start as an isser. It's a mitzvah say. So if you on purpose don't do the mitzvah say, then you're violating the daraisa. But if you're honest with the mitzvah say, then why can't I use the kli? Right? Either way, I'm not going to do the mitzvah say. Meaning, the question is, are you allowed to be in a position where you're chayiv in a mitzvah say that you're honest from doing? So Rav Shapter says, yes, you can not buy the kli. Or you can put you can not put yourself in a position of being chayiv, or you can put yourself in a position of being chayiv and be honest and not able to do it. You're allowed to put yourself in a position of being chayiv and then be honest and not able to do it. Okay. This Rav Shapter is questionable on two grounds. A, in halacha, then why do all the achronim say it's impossible to tovel it, so like go sell it to a guy. It's impossible to tovel it, go break and get a Jewish craftsman to fix it. It's impossible to tovel it, will be made for some other svara. Why do they all say this svara? So it could be that it wasn't really impossible, but it could be that it's not a good svara. He's also wrong with Sius. If you tovel electric kalim, they won't break. They might break. Everything might happen. Don't come and sue me. I'm not taking personal responsibility. But they almost all the time will not break. It's rare they'll break. Maybe you'll have bad luck and they'll break. But it's not like it's impossible to do the mitzvah. It's possible. You're just taking your chances. You know what? A lot of things in life take chances. Being a Jew, you have to have a serious effort sometimes. But it's not like I can't total it because it'll break. No, if I total it, maybe there's some tiny chance it'll break. So take your chances. So when Sius is not true, what's the real answer? The real answer is what Matthew's 90 and what all the modern day hosts could say. The real answer is to tovel and let it dry. That's how we paskin. If you tovel things, it'll only break you plug it in while it's wet, because then it'll short circuit, right? You know, water is conductive, etc. Right? But if you tovel and let it dry, then it won't short circuit and nothing will happen, it won't break. I've told many electric cable in my life, and none of them broke. Some of them broke 5 years later, dropped on the floor too many times. But none of them broke in proximity to being total. Because you just have to leave them, I always say, they can 72 hours to dry. Really doesn't take that long, but that way I don't want people suing me. I even once had a Kli, I'm not even sure if it was high material at all, it's a coffee grinder. There's probably butter. My Pesach coffee grinder. I still use it out in Lazette. I've had it for 10 years, which means I've used it for 10 weeks. No, much less, because now I have fancier things than Pesach. But it must have had an S inside, because I totaled it, and then I took it out, and I tried to spill out the water, and no matter which way I turned it, I could hear the water sloshing inside, and the water wouldn't come out. If you're good at math, you imagine if there's just some S bend inside, no matter which way you turn it, the water won't come out. Mom, I shook it, I heard water sloshing inside. No angle could the water come out. I let it sit for 3 days. It was all dry. Plugged in and worked fine. So the real answer is just total electric kalim and let them dry, and it won't be a problem. I can't tell you 1% of the time something might not go wrong. Okay, but that's part of life. It's definitely safer than many other things we do. Okay, that's Nirlinis Daiti. However, here you get into a bit of a tricky situation, which is there are some kalim that you can't total that are electric. And those are two types of kalim that you mamish can't tovel. What are the two types of kalim you mamish can't tovel? Number one, electronic kalim. What's the difference between electric and electronic? Someone just help us with vocabulary.
It's self-sustaining.
Electric means you plug it in. Electronic means it has a computer inside. Right? So you can tell what has a computer inside. Electronics usually will break if you tovel them because a lot of the circuits are like cardboard and other things and they're very cheap. Electronics often will break if you total them. So electronic kalim often will break if you total them. And number two, coffee makers. I don't mean old-fashioned coffee makers. I mean like, what do you call them nowadays? The Keurig or Nespresso or all these other things, right? Keurig or Keurig?
Keurig.
Keurig, okay. All these kind of things, they have a pump inside. The water's in a reservoir in the back. And then when you turn it on and press the button or whatever you do, it pumps the water into the metal part inside, which boils it and boils it. The water only goes inside when you pump it. It can only pump if it's plugged in. If you put in the mikveh, the water won't actually go into the part that's the klisuda unless you plug it in and have it pump it, which obviously you can't do while it's immersed in water. Meaning it's basically impossible to tovel because you can't get the water to go in all the parts without plugging it in. You can kasher it very easily. Just run in and it puts boiling water through all the parts. But you can't total it because it needs electricity to get the water inside. Right? And if you don't get the water inside, then that's probably not a valid tefillah. Anyway, so there are things nowadays that are more complicated than regular old-fashioned electric cable. But George Foreman, or whatever you call it, sandwich, toast sandwich maker, whatever you call it, that you can total no problem. a toaster, a pashut toaster, you can total no problem. But other things, not so pashut. So what about things that you mamish can't total? A mamish break, or the mamish, you can't just get the water in them when you total them. That gets a lot trickier. And there, I think there's room to be makel to just not total them. It's Seiruf, Rav Schechter, and the Chalkas Yaakov. Right, there's no option to total part of them with the other part. That's not practical. So the mice, I think there's room to be makel, but it would be better to be machmer and sell it to a guy. Oh, it's a big haram, etc., etc. Okay, so there are other tzad malacha also. We're not going to worry about it. Okay, I don't think it's been a lot of money. Yeah, I don't think you have to go pay someone $50 to break it and fix it for you, and then you hope it'll be fixed this and be as good as it used to be before you broke it. No, lemaisa, if it's just electric clean, just be brave and total and let it dry. If it's mamish something that you can't total, then I think there's room to be makel, Tzirif, the Chalkas Yaakov, and the Rav Schechter's Sfara. But the best thing would be to sell it to a guy, even if it's a big harama, Tzirif, all the other Svaras, we can rely on that. Okay, kach nirla nis daiti lachriya. How do you sell it to a guy? So in Corona, some cash organizations started having online sign up to sell it to a guy. Made it very easy. There are Israeli people who do that. American people do it. I think some of them kept doing it even after Corona. They did it for Corona, but you couldn't go to mikvah for things like coffee makers. So I think on the Tzomet website, you can pay 5 shekel, and they'll sell it to a guy. It's your shliach. I think in America, someone based in America used to have, I don't know if they still have after Corona. So you can sign up on the Tzomet website. I'll send a link if you want, if you remind me, to sell it to a guy. Or you could just keep in mind, why do you need a rabbi to sell chametz to a guy? You only need a rabbi to sell things to a guy if you're not physically handing them over. Because to sell things that you don't physically give over is very complicated halachically. If you're actually physically handing it to the guy, then it's very easy. The Mahadrim and a Mahadrim, the most Mahadrim to be able to all the Chumers and ones that don't exist is have the guy give you a nickel or a ten of a rope piece and have him pick it up, and now he's Kohenet. You could give him the ten of a rope piece. He doesn't have to sacrifice his own. Right? So you could sell it to the guy yourself. Again, when you're in physical proximity. If I were to sell my Chumers to a guy by putting him in that cardboard box and giving it to him, then I wouldn't need a rabbi to help. The reason we need a rabbi to help sell the chametz is because no one's touching the chametz. Then it's a complicated legal thing. You need a lawyer for second law, you need a rabbi for Jewish law. If you're actually putting it in a box and giving it to the guy, then yeah, Baal Bus can do that. That's intuitive. That's actual selling. Actual selling, you don't need a rabbi. Anyway, Kitzer, okay, so I think, the most proper thing would be to sell it to a guy and not rely on any kulas, but there's room to remake them. He needs to be basically aware.
He's buying this, but I'm using it.
Either you could sell it to him, he's buying it and lending it to you, or what they do nowadays, they come with a chop, you could just sell him a shutfus in it. So I'm selling you 1% partnership in this clique. Again, it sounds a little weird. Whatever you do is going to sound weird. Some guy, you already know these things. But if it's a regular guy, he'll think you're weird. And rightly so. Okay, so you do your best. To do 1%, no, I think that's the Mahadrim. Okay, so we got through a decent bit of, we got the first 13 of the 23 Makoros, but I realized more than 23 because I forgot to put about the bottles. So, did I really forget them? That's so weird. Yeah, I guess I did. Okay, it happens. We got through the first 17 Makoros. We only have one page left, but I'm going to have another page for the ones I forgot. We'll pick up with Sif Beis. We'll try to fly a little. So try to get ahead. Hold on. No, you have... Yeah. That's weird. Okay. Anyway, try. Don't feel bad if your head in the Shulchan Aruch. At a certain point, I'll just fly and catch up with you, and we'll pick up Emirat Hashem next time. Any questions? Of course, you can ask.
I've heard people say like you buy something and you realize you need to use it, but you don't have time to tumble it. You can use it once and
then tumble it. Okay. That is an amaratus. That's a total mistake. Where does that mistake come from? It comes from the fact that people don't know the difference between chafetz and gavra. What does that mean? They know there's a kula that aluminum pans, you don't have to tovel because you only use them once. They say, okay, so I can buy something and use it once, now toveling it. You know, they think it's a heter for the gavra to use it once. It's just a mistake. It's a posh mistake. The heter is a chafetza. A chafetza which can only be used once is not a kli, it's not makabel tovel because it's not omei, there's manderuba, and it's pachim tefillah. But if the chafetza is a permanent kli, and you use it once, you're totally chayim tefillah, there's no heter whatsoever, it's just a misunderstanding. It's not a shita, it's just a misunderstanding. There is no shita that you can use it once without it.
For Moshe, he's
Moshe,
he's part of the oven, so just, would that be, what if I just total the racks in the oven?
We're talking about an oven.
Or a toaster.
He was talking about a toaster. In a toaster oven, there's no problem at all because the rack is a separate cleat from the rest of it.
So you should, but you
in
should
a toaster oven, sorry, I was going to say this next time. Anyway, toaster oven is not a problem at all. You total the rack and you don't total the rest, and it's fine because only the rack is a klisuda. Because the rack is where you put your food. The rest of it's not where you put your food. So in toaster ovens are no problem. He meant an actual pop-up toaster. Remember pop-up toasters, which are all one piece?
But you should total your
oven. You should for sure total the rack of the toaster oven, because that's how you make toast. You put bread on the rack. Ah, according to our motion, maybe that's, yeah, but you put lots of things on the rack for lots of reasons. I think you could total the rack of the toaster oven.
Also, your regular oven racks.
Regular oven racks, we'll see, are controversial, or it will exist to total them. But regular oven racks are a little different from toaster oven racks, because you don't usually put food straight on the regular oven. Right? You usually put pans on the oven rack. But you usually do put food straight on the toaster oven rack. I depends on my toaster oven. You know, they're like the small ones, the medium ones, the big ones. You know, like Americans have small toaster ovens, so their moms just use to make toast. So those, you put whatever you want. You want to heat up pizza, put it on the rack. You want to make toast, you put it on the rack. There, the rack is more like a pan. Or like a barbecue grill, for example. A barbecue grill is no problem. The rack comes out, the rack is a separate kli, and the barbecue is a separate kli. The rack you tovel with a bracha, and the rest of the barbecue you don't. Right? So anytime it's two separate pieces, that's not a problem. There's the piece that you put the food on, which you tovel, and the rest of it, which you don't. It's only the pop-up toasters that Moshe was worried about. So those are all one piece.
You only made a bracha if you're going to put the food like you wouldn't make a bracha on the rack for
I think he admits he would not make the bracha on the rack. You certainly don't usually put food directly on it.
If you don't usually put food directly on something, then you only
wrap it. Correct. Yes, I agree. That's exactly what I meant to say.
Should we assume that the oven racks and the wrist buttons are controlled for us?
That is a question for Rabbi Miller. Because maybe he would know what he told people to do. You're only like the second person. Right? All the kitchens are new. Right. Okay, so you know what? On the next year, we'll discuss whether you have to double oven racks.